This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. Go to FUBARradio.com for more details. Sarah Love and Mice Diggy. You think it, we'll say it.
Yeah. It's your people's Feral March. You know what it is. Queens, New York. And right now, you're listening to the hip-hop show with Sarah Love and Mice Diggy on FUBAR Radio. One.
Two.
Three.
Four.
Bitches and bitchettes.
Welcome. I thought we were going to start rapping nothing but a G thing.
Oh, my bad. Yeah,
see, that's foul.
That's some DJ shit. I'm an MC, so I try not to rap anybody else's lyrics. Yeah.
Fair enough.
What's going on, my beloveds? This is the hip hop show right here, FUBAR Radio. That's right. And of course, you're with the one and only DJ Sarah Love and myself, Mice Diggy, aka the voice of Chocolate Velvet Cake. First of all, though, we always have to give a shout out to MC Boldsworth, aka Ian Boldsworth.
MC Boldsworth. Huh? I love how we've created this alter ego for him, like, yeah. Just purely with no consent.
I can
from
tell
Ian
he wants that now. I can tell when he's on the mic. Yeah. He's like, man. Because he always comes.
Loving it,
the open mic. Yeah, he is the open mic, and he's like, man. Bro, I could bar up these, man. Them man, they ain't got no bars for me, bruv.
Still. But yes, Ian has been taking care of you for the last 2 hours. And remember, you can listen back to all of the FUBAR Radio shows on the website. And last week, we brought you another crazy show right here.
Mm-hmm.
We had an interview with Diamond D of DITC.
Man, you lot get variety out here. We also had the open mic session with Mottman Kells, Vitier.
Vitea. I know, because whenever I read it, I see it differently to how it's pronounced. Yeah.
And shouts out to Rude Adams as well, man. They smashed the open mic last week. Beat by DJ Daredevil. Thanks for the beat, brother.
Yes.
And so make sure you listen back. Go to www.fubarradio.com/hiphop, because that's what we're all about, mother lovers. What have you got in store today?
And today we have another fine interview for you with super producer Swiss Beats.
Woo.
Yes, you heard variety galore over here. Swiss Beats, we caught up with him, and we're going to be joined in the studio with Verbs and Friends. We've got a whole gamble of MCs on the way for you.
Yes, man, Verbs, man. This is a guy that I discovered on Facebook, over the Digital Pub, mate. Do you know what I mean? Shout out to G-Bag. Do you remember G-Bag from the Gate Crashers? He posted this link with a video. And you know me, I like to see who's doing what. He said, oh, this guy's sick. I'd love to work with him. And so I clicked, fingers crossed. I trust G-Bag as well.
Yeah.
And heard this kid, man. I was like, whoa, this guy's crazy. You got to come on the show, bruv. You know, because this is what the show is all about. It's all about you, mother lovers. Talented or not, whether you have some kind of skill or you don't, we do this for you. The hip-hop show, bitches and bitchettes.
Mm.
Make sure you let us know that you're locked in. hiphop@fubarradio.com on the email. Or if you want to go on the Twitter machine, it's @FUBARradio, @DJSarahLove, and @MiceDiggy.
Yes, and we love to hear from you guys. hiphop@fubarradio.com. Of course, we got all the best new hip-hop on the way for you. Open mic, the party guide. And there's going to be a dope investigation as well. And all of that is coming up right after this.
Rabbit hole they fell. They wanna escape the world. They wanna escape themselves. Left damaging their health. Patterns reoccurring down a rabbit hole they fell. Escapism is something we all crave. If you reach an atom, I must take it to the grave. Hunting for the knowledge and going through just the face. Suffer fate just the way I like it's custom made. Higher sources got the lessons to relay. Best listen and obey, not be pissed off, depressed and great. Every instant, every day, all you're manifesting is rain. When you really wanna go and play in sunshine again. Let the rays through your fog infested brain. Eradicate your pain, find the reasons they explain. Why you're deeply in a rage. You're gonna need support like a broken bone with a metal plate. And pellets honing home and your soul needs to go and elevate the beauty like when petals separate, revealing what's innate. Shatter your state like stones thrown at frozen lakes. Shown a glimpse of the place where your ghost awaits. Go home to space. They wanna escape the world. They wanna escape themselves. Left damaging their health. Patterns reoccurring down a rabbit hole they fell. They wanna escape the world. They wanna escape themselves. Left damaging their health. Patterns reoccurring down a rabbit hole they fell.
Yo, yo, what up, though? It's your boy, Guilty Simpson, sending a shout-out to Sarah Love, Mice Diggy, and the FUBAR Radio Show. Make sure you support that. If you don't, you're stupid.
Listen to that boy. Even that was like, God damn. Hey, someone get me a tissue, man. I just made a mess myself. Damn. Yes. And he said it right.
And he said it right. First time round and everything.
Hey, man, you just heard Flip Tricks right there. Patterns of Escapism. Shout out to Flip Tricks. I heard the launch party on Saturday was a killer.
Yeah, looked crazy.
Yeah, I heard he smashed it, and everybody else that was down there, man. Do get that album out on High Focus Records, and remember, we always give you exactly what you need, bitches and bitchettes.
Yeah, and big up to Flip Tricks as well, because that's his sixth album, this one that's out just out now, and that reached number 4 on the iTunes Hip Hop chart.
Wow, that's crazy.
That's pretty dope. I'm impressed. So go on, dude. Keep up the good work. This is FUBAR Radio. It's myself, Sarah Love.
And myself, my Steve.
Yeah, you're still with me?
Yeah, no. I'm all over the place, man. This last week, or I should say 2 weeks, has just been crazy.
Me too.
So it's been one of them ones where I'm kind of here and not here and there and not there all at the same time. You know, like, what's that thing called?
The Matrix?
Nah, what's that thing called where they try and measure, they're trying to say that, forget about it, man.
No, go on. Is this road science?
String theory.
String theory, oh.
You know the string theory, yeah. All that? Yeah. I feel like that, where it's like I'm not in one place at the same time. You know, like I'm not in one place at one time. I'm over here on the phone talking to someone over there when I'm here.
And that ain't even road science. That's like real physics.
That's just straight up fucked up science. That's life of an independent artist. That's what that is.
You know what, though? This Wednesday, which fits in quite nicely with how we like to start the show off, because every week we like to set things off with spreading some positivity into the atmosphere, you know, because there's so many good things going on and it's easy for us to get bogged down, like, you know, the days are getting shorter and shorter and it's getting colder and everything's just like mad, but you know, there's so many good things going on in the world, so we like to send some
big up.
Out to people doing the right things. I think part of the reason why we've had some crazy this crazy week is it's going to be a super moon on Wednesday.
Did we not have a super moon already?
We did, and the one that we had last month, that was like the largest super moon for the next 40 years.
Yeah,
or something
I did a mandala
like
during that super moon. No. If you don't know what a mandala is, don't try and Google Mandela. It's mandala. And yes, you know, this is all some old school shit that you might not know nothing about. You know what I'm saying?
So what did that involve?
It just involved like, it's basically a spiritual session where it's like kind of sweeping out the old and, you know, bringing in the new. So you get rid of any negative energies, any, you know, this is where people are like, right, Mice, man, I thought he was a gangster rapper. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, you get rid of any negative energy and you bring in abundance and positivity. So, and then after you have to, you kind of create a picture. Like you can use crayons or pencils or whatever, but you have to create a picture that represents, you know, your thoughts and your feelings during that session. Put
nice.
That, and then you can either stick that picture on your ceiling so when you wake up, but basically see it every day. I took a picture of it as well. I might show it to you, but not on air because you might laugh at my creative black Picasso over here. Do you know what I mean?
Never. Never.
Yeah, so I did that,
to
man.
Mice. that was big up to Mice. That's it. I've got something super hippie-ish to confess as well. This weekend, I'm going on a meditation course.
Is it?
Yeah, 3 days straight meditation course.
What, a silent meditation? So
no, I don't think, well, I think when you're actually meditating, it's silent, yeah, but you're not, I don't think it's, it's like kind of teaching you all these meditation techniques and stuff, but you do. That should be in the Tate or something, Mice. Mice has just shown me his mandala picture. That looks ill. I'm loving it. Seriously.
Careful, you can't
that's
say I'm
the
loving
kind
it.
Of thing that could. Oh, yeah.
McDonald's.
Definitely not co-signing that. Can I say burgers. I'm not sending a big up to the woman who was on the tube today eating some dirty, greasy chicken meal and it just was making me sick. Not just the smell of it, but the thought of that poor animal and just the thought of what that meal is doing to her body. Anyway, we do digress on this show. But that picture, Mice, that would have fit in our special guest this week's art exhibition that he was hosting because Swiss Beats was in town and he had a whole load of, you know,
who?
Modern art suites. Swiss Beats.
Who the hell is Swiss Beats?
Well, Swiss Beats.
What has Swiss Beats done? Who are
you
talking about here?
You might have heard of Swiss Beats. He's worked with everyone and everybody in hip-hop. So, and we caught up with him, so you're going to be hearing that later in the show. But back to this week's big up. Because I just want to send a big up to everybody who, you know, is thinking of others at this time of year. You know, this is, loneliness is a serious thing. I was listening to a report the other day that was saying 9% of people in the UK suffer from loneliness. And the dude that they were interviewing, he was saying he can go weeks without having a conversation with someone, which I just think is appalling. When you imagine we live in a city with 10 million people, most people don't even know their next door neighbor's name. Or don't even acknowledge their neighbours. You know, on average, people have 200 friends on Facebook. But in real life, most people will say they only have 2 to 3 real friends. You know, and so as we're getting more...
This is interesting, 2 to 3 real friends.
Yeah, when so people have been surveyed.
How do they define real friends?
I'm not sure, but I guess I guess everybody's got their own... You know,
definition of
You know, it's that person that you can always count on who's going to be there for you, go that extra mile, isn't it?
I was talking to somebody about this, and they were saying it's so weird how we always come up with things like, and we don't talk about this during the week and go, okay, this is what we're going to do Monday.
No.
But so last week I was speaking with someone about their friendships, and they were saying, like with me, I got loads of friends personally. I have a lot of different friends, but I'm not necessarily speaking to them every single day. The ones that I know are cool friends are the ones that aren't, if I don't speak to them for 6 months, but then we speak, it's not like, oh man, I don't hear from you, man. Like you're upset.
Yeah.
Like I understand you got stuff to do and I got stuff to do. We're adults. We may have grown up together, but you know, as adults, we got stuff to do now. But she was saying that most of her friends from school, she doesn't really hang out with anymore. And she kind of doesn't really relate to them as much. But now she has some new friends where, when they could talk for hours, but there's never any animosity. There's never any, oh, you blah, blah, blah. Oh, you don't call me or you don't, you know.
Yeah, that's
and that
the
sort of thing. And that, yeah, so it's interesting hearing what they define as what a real friend is then, you know.
Yeah, I don't know what their stipulation was for that. I guess they let people, you know, come to their own conclusion. But all relationships to me are about investment. Like, you know, it's not just something that happens miraculously. Like, you have to invest and that's what you reap the rewards. Like, I just think the difference just a smile can make to people's lives, or just simply saying hello to someone at the bus stop or as you walk past them in the street, or you know, when you're in the supermarket. There's nothing wrong with doing that, but when you live in places as densely populated like London, it's easy to get into that kind of mind frame. And so that's why I also wanted to send a shout out to everyone who is celebrating like alternative kind of Christmases this year, because I think a lot of people feel the pressure at Christmas, you know, to live up to the expectations of what Christmas is meant to be. Like, I'm personally just so done with the whole stressing and spending money unnecessarily on things that end up broken or aren't wanted. And for what? You know, these aren't necessarily things that are enhancing people's lives. And so, I'm down with the idea of making gifts Like for me, that's personally like mixtapes and cosmetics and jewelry, you know. And so when you have a gift, it's like, and I cook the Christmas meal for my family. When you have a meal or a gift that's made with love, someone's taken time out of their life to make something with you in mind. There's nothing on the high street that can top that. Like, even if you are buying a pair of trainers in Dior, if your feet are pinching and that needs to make you late to meet people for an interview. You know, but so I just think it's not about this materialistic vision that everybody has. My family also, every year, we take in strays at Christmas. So we always reach out to our friends who haven't got people to spend spend Christmas with. And we bring them around to our house. And it doesn't matter how well we know them, but it's time with people is just so precious. And a friend of mine really inspired me when he told me about how last year he volunteered at Christmas at a soup kitchen. And so I thought, you know, that's the kind of gift that I'm into giving. So this year I'm going to do the same. I'm going to join him. We're going down to I'm not sure if it's St. Edigio or Edigio.
Edigio, Charlie.
But it's in Kensington, and they've done a lot of great work over the last year, and they can use as many hands as possible. They're having a Christmas dinner on Christmas Eve for elderly and homeless people, and you don't need to do anything other than put your name down on the list. And there's always lots of places where you can go and volunteer at Christmas as well. And it's something that is fun. You know, you're meeting people, and it just feels good. It's rewarding. And like it always stays in my heart, my dad saying to me, to do a job that brings joy to other people's lives, what can be better than that?
Whoa, that's the moment where Mama Mice would be like, it really did touch my heart.
Can we get a drop from her saying that?
Yeah,
please?
I've got it.
Please
look
that
right
up, Mice.
Yeah,
Mice, I think you need to tweet your picture from your mandate.
You're not allowed to do that. Yeah, you're not allowed to do that.
Because that kills the buzz.
Yeah,
it kills the
I don't want to jinx, you know.
It's true.
But
I'm
would
loving
say
that picture. You need to print that or something.
Oh,
that's
no.
Lovely.
Thanks, Sarah. I mean, but I would advise people, you know, try and find a spiritual healer out there to help you do your mandala. If we got another super moon coming up, ladies are talking to you as well. Yeah, it's really helpful, and it gives you, every time you look at it, you get, there's some positive energy. And it comes from, you know, like the olden days. Like, there's not many times we get to say that, so I always like to say olden days when I can. But yeah, you know, the village, you know, you might have the soothsayer or the witch that later on in years got dipped in the lake every now and again, just
that
because
would have
she
been people like
could
me
heal people. But yeah, the shit helps, man. So I'd advise people to do it. Shout out to Marv Radio. He's Marv Radio. Are we still allowed to call him Marv Radio? Marv Radioli. But
see, is that just like some online thing? Because he's
I can't work it out.
Himself radio.
Yeah, I'm
it's
not
one
sure.
Of them
but he was having an operation today on his
sweetheart.
Foot, so hopefully it went well. And I just wanted to shout him out because I know he's down with like doing mandalas and spiritual stuff.
I just think drawing also is so therapeutic. Like these are the kind of things that we don't even put time aside to do anymore. But it's like when you just get into that zone of drawing, you know, your mind just gets carried off into another zone. All of those things, that's how too much screen time is honestly not healthy. And we've seen a lot of medical studies now that have proven it. So it's beyond just like, oh, you need to just like get with the modern times. It ain't about that. But yeah, so there's, I just want
to... There's something to do with the physical manifestation of it as well. So when you write something down, it actually it's tangible as opposed to when you just think it or you just type it out on a digital. You know, it's not. I know there's this whole thing now with what we were talking about the other week about meme. What do they call it? Meme magic.
Okay.
Like they're saying if you meme something enough. So that's how Donald Trump got into power.
Oh, God.
Using that frog. What was his name? Pepe the Frog or whatever. So loads
you're
of people.
Into the atmosphere.
Yeah, you're putting it into the atmosphere. But what you're doing, this is how I believe, okay, maybe it works this way. People look at it and now it's physical in their head. So now they're thinking about it a lot and they're putting it into the atmosphere, into the abundant, you know, world or whatever you want to call it. And so there's loads of people not even realizing. You know, you can walk into a room sometimes and you're like, right, something's not right here. Like, people have been arguing or there's something going on. You don't know until someone says it. You go, I knew there was something up. It's stuff like that.
It's vibe.
Yeah,
vibrations.
So, you know,
But
see, we're taking you on the hip-hop hippie journey on today's show.
Hippie hop,
so don't go anywhere. It's hip-hop.
Shout out to Shay D, man. She's the hip-hop hippie.
Is she?
Yeah.
She's out hippieing us.
Yeah. She's on this. She's on this hippie team, bro.
But get in touch with us today, hiphop@foobarradio.com. We love hearing from you guys because truly this show is all about you and representing the fine work that you're doing. And make sure that we're bringing you all of that good stuff coming up later in the show. We got a massive open mic and an exclusive interview for you with Swiss Beats. But first, let's pay you something brand new. It's Sarah Love and My Stiggy on Foobar.
Yep.
I'm just a human being, stuck in my old ways. I was struggling, hustling, still pushing all my mates, dropping weights on a scout, telling stories, not tales. They don't want to invest because they're afraid they're gonna fail. Sometimes you gotta take the risk, but not take the I wanna find the things with an icy wrist. You won't see the fine line because sometimes it is razor thin. Sometimes I close my eyes and blow the wish when they realize that they were made for this. Every line that you spat, you kept from mentioning the past on some basic. Think a little bit, fit that brain training in. I was built up to last. I was made to win. I was on a big stage, carved telegraph, was taking my pick, shooting vids for days. I can't sleep till I sink. I got so close to the edge, I was living on the brink. I woke up hungover, pouring liquor down the sink. My mouth was so dry, I must have smoked 20 sleeps. If you get air in the bits, don't roll in your bits on you. Owning the bits, but you're on the throne in the bits. They know the name, SK's gonna be known in the mids. I'm skits in the bits, I don't tip to a bitch. I can switch in the bits like a wizard with tricks. If you can't catch the drift, then get the gist. I'm just a human being in a bad mood. Sick of making bad moves. Just to get up and leave, I'll be glad to. We're all living on the brink, and if you'd fall, I'd catch you. Yeah, if you're my boy, then of course I'll back you. But don't be acting like them rats do. I'll come and rap you, body burp, dash you. Got no care in the world, now I'm doing what I have to. It's hard while we live on the brink. I think somebody put a pill in my drink. I'm going crazy, living in a daydream. No idea now why I'm here, missing a link. Awkward, nasty, yes, the white race forward. Going hard, now we've learned them orders. Slow down when we turn them corners. It's a freestyle, this don't need no chorus.
Yo, it's your man Fife Dawg, formerly of A Tribe Called Quest, and I'm lounging on the My Stiggy Sarah Love Show. Y'all know what it is. Love that, honor that, respect that, cherish that. Hip hop music, you done know. Big up.
Big up. That last track, Scatter, featuring Crooksnick. Crooksnick. MCs, please, can you just spell us, like, give us the phonetics for your names as well so then we can make sure we're saying your names correctly. That track is called Living on the Brink. The album Scattered Pieces is available. Oh, okay. That makes sense.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, that's cool. But now you need to differentiate yourself from the other MCs called Chronic in it, so you need to find some funky spelling. But yeah, Scattered Pieces is available now, digital and all that good stuff. And make sure you check out that open mic where we had Scatter rip it for us. All of our open mics, we filmed them, and you can check them out on Facebook
and YouTube
also. So definitely get involved.
Google them bitches, bruh.
This is hip hop. It's Foobar Radio.
Yeah, damn. Oh, you could play my music now, actually. That's right. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to welcome y'all bitches and bitchettes down to the Foobar Radio Cafe. Yeah, damn right. I'm here with your favorite barista, a.k.a. DJ Sarah Love. And I go by the name of My Sack Hay. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. My Sack Hayes, man. That's right, where we take you so high, you can't even hear it, bitch. And I'm a bad mother.
Shut your mouth.
Hey, I was about to say alien, bitch.
Because we're on that hip-hop hippie shit today.
We hip-hop hippies right here. Hey, this week's investigation comes in courtesy of What the Fuck Is That, Bruh? I Don't Think I Can Eat It. Last week, yeah.
Oh, thank you. I'm always on that tip.
Last week, I was on this video shoot. And often on set, like, you know, I do a bit of film stuff and whatnot. And often on set, they bring in sandwiches. You know when it's, it gets tiring? Oh, the point where you're like, wow, okay, we've had lunch, we've had dinner, but bruv, if you want me to carry on with this shit, I need something else. Then they start bringing out the sandwiches. You know the quarter triangle sandwiches?
Dutty.
Like, all right, I'm going to need about 5 or 6 of them.
Dutty, and it's not a good Dutty.
So you had, you had the rows. You know, you got on this tray, there's like rows. So you got the tuna, salmon. You got the, maybe it'd be cheese and pickle. You know what I mean? Get your, you know, then they have the veggie one because obviously, you know, some people like, this is a new thing now, isn't it, to be veggie. But then they got the coronation chicken row. Now listen, I'm looking at it. Every time I see coronation chicken, I'm like, yo, what's going on there? Like, why does it have to look like that? It looked like either it's half cooked. It looked like it got brought back up, like the curry got brought back.
I'm not even sure which one coronation chicken is.
Yeah, it's the one where the chicken just looks mad yellow, but
sorry,
you know, like
you're
it
making
looks like
my stomach turn right now.
It looks like, right.
Sorry.
Like someone, at least fry it up or something. Do something to
at
it.
At least cook it.
Yeah, it looks bland. But I found out today, coronation chicken is actually leftovers. And
nice.
It's the name coronation.
And is it blessed by the queen or something?
Well, coronation, you know, it's quite obvious what that means. So basically, they must have been in wherever. They were, you know, they were somewhere in India. They're like, yeah, the chicken's too spicy. But here what we're going to do. Let's wash
we're
down
English,
the chicken
right?
a bit. Put a bit of yogurt in there. Yeah,
oh, that
and just
one.
A tiny bit of curry
seasoning.
Mm. Because they've washed the chicken. Obviously, they tried to wash the smoke. It's too bloody hot. Look, it's too bloody hot in this country. Your chicken's too hot.
Wash that flavour off.
Yeah, it's like, bruv, get the fuck out of it. First of all, we told you to come here, take all my gold, all my shit. Anyway, yeah. So we worked out what coronation chicken was. But the funny thing is, every time you know when they bring out the sandwiches, coronation chicken is always the last row of sandwiches to go. Like nobody really is on it. Only the Cockney, the Sparkies, like all the lighting guys. Yeah, all right, mate, nice bit of coronation chicken. Obviously, you know, they're old school, so for them that's standard. But it just made me think, like, right, you know, some people were kinda happy to eat nearly anything. Like I know people that they never say no. You know what I mean? So this week's investigation, courtesy of coronation chicken, name some foods or meals you would never eat. No matter what the cost.
Oh, my God.
Some foods you or meals you would never eat, no matter what the cost. Hit us up, hiphop@foodbarradio.com on the email, or you can tweet us at foodbarradio. Sarah's got the look on her face like, damn.
Terror, that's the look of terror. I've told you last week about some of my OCD problems. Listen, I saw a documentary about the pre-packaged sandwich industry and how dirty and disgusting that is. And since that day, I've, you know, it's only in the most extreme desperation. Like, I'm about to die where I've eaten a pre-packaged sandwich. Can I also send a shout out to my friend at their house? I open the fridge. I'm like, yeah, just go look for some fizzy water. In their fridge, they had one of those a ham and cheese toasty in a packet that you just put in the microwave.
Is it? Ham and cheese toasty.
I felt like I was looking at a dodo or something. I thought that was extinct and people didn't do that anymore. Like, how are you eating that? And you know, nowadays, what in most processed food, what they have is synthetic cheese. So it's not even real cheese. It's a man-made product that's made to act and look and smell like cheese. So it's not even a natural thing. It's made to be rubbery.
Is that's been around for a while. You're on about sliced the ones in the little plastic thing.
Yeah.
That you have to rip it off.
But,
like.
Yeah. And then, but now that's what you have on all your Domino's pizza, any, you know, burger chain that you go to, like if you're buying your pre-made toasty, all of that stuff that is synthetic cheese.
You know,
Dutty.
It's crazy that they can actually sell that shit and say it is what it is. Like, bruv, that ain't cheese. You know, Barry White, the singer, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
I met his one of his chef, like a guy that was his chef. You know, I was doing some famous ass shit, basically. That was me humble bragging, but hashtag humble brag, don't tell anybody, yo. And basically, he said, he goes, yeah, you know, because Barry White died, he passed away of a heart attack, I do believe.
Yeah.
And he was saying, you know, he had to be his personal chef. And he was going, yo, the way my man was eating, and it was that kind of cheese. He'd be like, his wife was like, you need to make a cheese sandwich. He wants a cheese sandwich. And he's like, okay, a cheese sandwich. He made like, you know, gourmet. This guy made us sandwiches. So bam, bam, bam. You're eating the thing like, oh my day. You know, like, I want more. You want to? It's like, did you next sprinkle level. Crack in there or yeah, something yeah. like that?
Because I'm still dreaming of that.
That was
sandwich.
A joke, by the way. I don't smoke crack. Yeah. So anyway, he said after he made the sandwich, the wife was cussing like, "Nah, that's not how to make it." Blah 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 blah. Oh, she went. She goes, "This is how you make it." She went and got, you know, is it like Mighty White or whatever bread it is? Like the whitest bread you could get. God. Yeah. Mad Ku Klux Klan
Lethal.
Bread. Yeah.
Yeah.
Went and got a big loaf of the whole loaf, oh, cut, sliced the loaf lengthwise, long ways, yeah? Then spreads the cheese, you know, like the fake ass, whatever it is, cheese on there. That's the sandwich my man wants. Oh. It's like, no wonder my man had, he's sweating, he's always sweating on stage.
No, but it honestly makes, rest it in makes peace, the cheese look. Sweat.
Jesus.
No, but it, honestly, it makes me want to cry. This is a subject that I hold close to my heart because I personally, I avoid processed food. Like, I don't want to eat anything, if possible, that's come from a factory. People I know have worked in factories, they say don't eat food that's come from there. Anything that falls on the floor, that just gets swept up and poured back in the batch. Like, you know, oh, it just makes me sick. But the thing that makes me saddest about it, and that's what upset me so much seeing this woman eating the dirty chicken meal on the train today, not only
so
did it
the fried,
stink.
Was it the fried chicken?
Yeah, like yeah. chicken shop chips and chicken
sad,
and
man.
The poor little animal and the messed up, disturbing life. Go and watch that film Food Inc. if you think that I'm exaggerating, that poor creature has had. And but also just the health consequences of eating this food. And the industry, they work hard to make sure the consumer is kept far away from the reality of where that food comes from. And that's why people end up eating things like synthetic cheese and dirty chicken meals and all this stuff. Because if they actually understood what they were eating...
Bit of dirty bird, mate. Nothing wrong with a bit of dirty bird, you know what I mean, mate? Punch a cone and have a bird, you know what I mean, mate?
In emergency situation. No, but that's what I mean. I can't even remember the last time I ate a McDonald's. Just the word McDonald's makes me want to heave because I've trained my mind to just be offended by it, and you should be.
Yeah, I think once I started getting hip to, you know, like what food, what was really going on, and for me it was like my cousin got cancer at like, he was like 31 or 32. Aww. And he was a cyclist. It was like, what the hell? But then chatting with him and finding out, you know, it's to do with diet and obviously stress levels and things like that. Then I started looking into, right, so what the hell is cancer? What is this shit? And the more you look into it, you know, once you start getting hip to like, oh, right, you know, the alkaline foods, acidic foods, blah, blah, blah. You go into the supermarket and you're just like, wow, I shouldn't, like, probably 98% of what's in here, I shouldn't be eating.
All you need to think is, why don't you ever see adverts for broccoli?
Yeah.
Because no one's making money off broccoli, but they're making money off you buying dirty synthetic cheese and sliced ham and all this dirty, dirty food. Also, the meat eater's diet is the largest contributor to global warming in the world. More than every plane, car on the road put together. The meat eater's diet is literally killing, destroying the world.
Mate,
and it's
cows,
killing
mate.
Your guts as well.
The cows fart all over left, right and centre, mate. It's all right, mate.
And the methane. Honestly, it is. So I'm sorry. You've really got me off on a tangent and it started with the woman on the track being that close to that nasty chicken.
Yo, I mean, the fried chicken. You know what's really sad about the whole fried chicken thing and, like, you know, bad food is most of the time in poor areas is where you see it. So, like, you know, I like to...
Like a Ladbrokes.
I'm not really one of them, like, hey, man, you should... But I like to eat more organic stuff than anything else. And if you go to a poor area and you go into their local store, obviously not going to mention the names because we ain't about promoting none of that shit, it's less likely to see as much organic stuff as you would in a richer area. So, say, like, if you're in Earls Court or somewhere, it's like, you know, there's sections upon sections.
And
all kind of
Whole Foods.
Yeah, da-da-da-da-da. Whole Foods is a bit of bullshit as well, but...
But, I mean, they're always in poncy areas.
Yeah, yeah. But then you go to, like, some brass area, and it's just bare pizza, chicken shops, you know, all the shitty kind of stuff, that the shit that just doesn't make you feel any better anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And guess who, like you're saying, it's an industry that where basically, yeah, the more shit people eat, the more the pharmaceutical industry can gain off of it. So they're not going to be like, yo, stop eating, you know, this, cancer research is never going to be like, yo, you should stop eating this and this and da-da-da-da-da. Because for them, they're making less money, you know, the better people are, the more the healthier we are, the less they're going to be making out of it. So it's a really vicious cycle, man.
Yeah, the sugar industry, don't even start me on that. That's lethal too. But we want to know what you guys think. hiphop@foodbarradio.com. Give the people your question.
That's right. Name some foods or meals you would never eat, no matter what the cost. So for me, anything that, like, microwave dishes, I'm not fucking with that shit. I've eaten that before, but knowing now, like, come on, man. Back in the day, they'd have been like, what kind of devilish microwave? Like, how the hell?
I can probably count the number of times I've eaten a microwave meal in my life.
Yeah, I can't. I'm not really good at counting, but that's not besides the issue. It's like, yo, what kind of devilish thing. And then I heard not too long ago that you're not meant to, whilst the microwave is on, you shouldn't be standing next to it. You've got to be like 15 meter radius.
I do know someone who runs out of the room every time they use the microwave.
It's like, bruv, don't use it. Get some foil. Put whatever food it is in the foil tin. You know, there's containers out there now. Put it in the oven. Bam, it might take another 10 minutes longer or whatever, but at least the food is real. Once you put it in the microwave, it starts turning it into some Frankenstein shit. That's why when you eat it, like, think about this. When you warm it in an oven, it stays warm for a decent amount of time. You put it in a microwave, that shit, one side of it's a bit cold, the next, you know what I mean? Yeah, all this madness. You got to take it out of the microwave, mix it up. Like, they're telling you all this shit because it's not, you know, it's not a natural thing to do. So for me, that's one thing. Coronation chicken is another thing as well.
No, but it's a liberty when they put those sandwich platters out. Or just platters of food out. And because the person who's put out, obviously, they're not veggie. I'm not a strict vegetarian. I'm kind of pescatarian. I do eat meat sometimes if I know where that meat is, you know,
I've got to take
you
to the Brazilian restaurant and try these chicken hearts, baby. That's like, hey.
Chicken is probably like the... Because the chicken industry is so vile where it's like, you know, the way that I would eat chicken is if we... I go to my friend's farm in Australia. We wring the chicken's neck ourselves and we eat that chicken. That's the only way I'm going to eat chicken.
Kill that shit.
I need to know where this food
has
come from.
Do a little juju with it.
yeah.
This is the interesting thing as well about, like, you know, organic versus non-organic and all that. Like, my mum used to laugh at me about it, but now she's like, oh, where can I get this organic rice and, you know, blah, blah, blah. It fills you up more. You know, like, we're not meant to eat as much as we do. Like, we eat 3-4 times a day. People eat whatever. But the amount that we eat is a lot more than we should. And especially meat is way more. But so say, like, if you buy like a normal chicken, which is what, £4, £3 or whatever, a whole chicken. Oh, if you make soup with it, and this is on recipes online, you can see. If you try and make a soup with it, they'll tell you, boil it up and whatever, you're going to get all this, like, frothy shit that comes up. And you have to take that out.
Oh, God.
And then now the rest of it, whatever. You get an organic chicken, you don't get any of that shit that comes up to the top. Yeah.
Wow.
So it says a lot. And they will last you a lot longer as well. As a matter of fact, I'm going to go get me some organic chicken later. Because my mouth's watering talking
but
about this shit.
Do you know
shit.
What? I also just started thinking a couple years ago. If I'm not prepared to kill it myself, should I be eating it?
True. You're on some hunter-gathering shit. That's
honestly, like, if you got a man up, and if you're not prepared to kill the food yourself, then maybe you shouldn't be eating that steak, isn't it?
Yeah, that's true. That's,
you know,
very
if
true.
You're not prepared to confront the reality of the life that creature has lived, which, why is that creature any less equal that, you know, to not suffering than you are, then, you know, maybe you should question your diet. But get in touch with us, hit us up. We're going to play you another tune. This one is from Dabler. It's hiphop@foodbarradio.com. Mice needs to know.
What foods or meals would you never eat, no matter what the cost? I have some answers for my friends, and we'll get them to you later on, my beloveds.
Let me ask ya. Have you ever loved something so badly? Give it all up for it gladly. Sacrifice everything you have, fell in love with the shit madly. Sadly, no guarantees in the long line when you're not next, and the prospects are hard to identify like flying objects. Droplets in the tear ducts, bar tap like a beer bus. Anywhere the road steers us, just praying that someone hears us. Time burns like a joss stick, toes feel like the frostbite. Going through my notes like a Gnostic, and it feels like I fucking lost it. It's all there right in front of you, just let go and it will come to you. Possibilities are endless. Funny your world, what's it coming to? Can you tell what it's all about though? Love, light and unity. Do unto others what you'd have done back to your own community. No blackmail or immunity. Soon to see what we're made of. If everybody tried to do the right thing, none of us would be afraid of. Everything would be greater if it wasn't all about the paper. You would love thy neighbour, not treat them like a stranger. It's funny how we transmitted this disease that leads nowhere. Where the means outweighs any needs, and the seeds they don't grow there. In the middle of
nowhere. That's where it starts, anywhere you are, spinning on this little blue green ball out there, just wishing on a star. Tell me, do you ever wonder why? Another space or another time in another place, like a lullaby, just fly away with me, butterfly now. What am I here for? Put here on this earth for? What do I need to go to work for? Why do I feel I deserve more? There's always someone else worse off. What am I digging in this dirt for? Is it really worth all the time and effort? If it's that good, what's it hurt for? I'm a one-man workforce, making music you can bump, mate. 24/7, 365, every day, no lunch break. One way, no return ticket in the very little hope one day that someone might somehow or some way. Some say that I'm wasting all my time, could be right there, yeah, mate, might be, but he's still got something I believe in, even though it could be just a pipe dream. And I must admit that my slate needs a little white clean. No one wants to be 40 years old in the pub singing Come on Eileen. Where do you wanna go now, bruv? Standing there in my rap stance, got him looking at me funny, thinking what's he going on about, fat chance. How you ever gonna make it better for yourself if you never advance? You ain't ever gonna step on my toes, motherfucker, better learn a tap dance. Sick and tired of your crap bars with your videos and your flash cars. Don't you know the flutter of a butterfly, wings big enough to cause an avalanche?
I've got Dabla, yeah, is that I need to be seeing food, I need food on the table, don't I? Do you know what I mean? What am I going to do? Here I am, putting in all this work for you, and my fucking kids are going hungry. I can't have that, can I? You know what, Dabla? You need that killer instinct, brother. You need that ruthlessness. If you put yourself, imagine you was like a caveman, yeah, before we had all computers and that, you're living out in the wild, and you got to fucking kill animals to survive, didn't you? Do you know what I mean? What are you going to do? Go, oh no, I don't want to kill it. I don't want to kill it. No, it's not. Look at it. It's all cute. No, no, it's all right. I'll starve. No, it's all right. My kids can starve. My wife can go and fuck off with that other caveman that just killed a fucking massive wildebeest. Yeah, that, we'll just do that, shall we?
Vent.
Isn't it? Let me know. Speak your mind, man. Speak your mind.
That was Dabla. The track's called Butterfly. Yeah, I mean, speak like what you were saying before about if you're not prepared to kill it, really, should you be eating it?
I just try and imagine Sarah Love grab it, chasing the chicken, catch the chicken, catch the chicken, and then she grabs it like that, bites the head off, boy.
Yeah, I could do
drinks
it.
Drinks the blood out of the neck.
No, but do you know what? I'm down. I'm ready.
Did you pluck
for
the chicken as well?
Oh, but you have to if you're going to eat chicken.
Yeah, that's the only weird bit for me is plucking
it. I know,
it.
So it's like if you don't want to do those things, don't be eating chicken.
Yeah, but I'd kill it. But the plucking is just long and the feathers, yeah, and all the little pointy
messy
bits of the fish.
It's like, pretty involved.
It's like, for me, it'd be like being in a room full of moths and, you know, you just can't really grab them or nothing. You're just like,
it's pretty involved. You know what, though, speaking of moths, what I'm ready for is, because they're saying a day is going to come because of the environmental consequences. Moths are going to, no, but for real, they are going to take over. No, because the environmental consequences of the meat eater's diet means the only real option for the future for enough protein is going to be eating insects, which is, you know, how we've lived for millions of years as we have eaten insects. I'm totally down for it and ready for it.
Well, that's interesting because I do have some answers down it. Yeah, I always go down the digital pub, do you know what I mean? And I've got to let them know. Yeah, mate. So name some foods or meals you would never eat, no matter what the cost. Do you know what I mean? Like, and I did get some answers from a couple of me mates over there. Some did mention about the insects, but what's interesting is that
what saying they would never eat them.
Yeah, they'd never eat that shit. But in some countries, that is
the highest form of protein is eating insects.
And it's like delicacy in some places you go.
You go Thailand, you know, like all them little stalls they got
all over the world. This is how we have lived as a human race, you know, because to be able to eat meat, you'd have to do a hell of a lot of exercise and, you know, a lot of work to be able to
catch that buffalo. Try to catch that buffalo. Hey, fam, I just see your, imagine the old school, they'd be like, yeah, fam, I just see a herd of buffalo over there, yeah? There's a, like, I swear down... Man can catch a calf at least. Like, you run that shit down. If you man
you
hang
run
out,
that way.
Yeah.
You I'll run that way.
You see the lions, how them man do it. You see how the lions do it. Like,
literally, that's how it's started.
Or the lionesses, as I say.
Mm.
So, the thing is as well, and with that, is that the fact that we used to have to hunt for the shit, we weren't eating it every day. You know, that goes back to what I'm saying about eating three times, you know, four
and
times.
And you're doing a lot of exercise.
Yeah, you're doing a lot of exercise to do it. So you're working off, you know what I mean? If you did have to hunt a wild boar, which is something else I don't think I can eat, man. I've tried pork before, right?
Mm-hmm.
When I was a kid, I ate pork. Sausages, bacon, yeah, even, you know, the flat. They used to do, like, flat sausage burgers, all of that shit. But then in school, we did an experiment with, like, a piece of ham, I think or something like that. We put it in a Petri dish and then left it on the windowsill.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, do you remember
doing that?
And then the next day, it was just all maggots. And I was like, man, I love horror films. And back then, I didn't. It's only after I watched The Making of Thriller, I was like, oh, shit. Yeah, but once I saw the maggots and all that, I was like, later, mm-hmm. pork. I was like, mum was like, right, why are all the sausages still in the freezer? How come you're not eating? I was like, yeah, I don't eat pork anymore, bub.
Processed meat causes cancer. Like, when you look at the
digestive system. I think meat causes cancer.
It does. And then when you look at the digestive system of a meat eater, someone who's eaten meat their whole life compared to, you know, someone who's just eaten, had a veggie diet, you know, it's a horrifically amount of undigestive meat that just gets stuck.
Well, that's when you got to get someone to stick it up your bottom. You got to get someone to stick a pipe up your bottom, flood a whole lot of water in there, aka colonic irrigation.
But even that doesn't seem natural to me, because if you're just eating a right diet, then you don't need to do something because we're as like a colonic.
Nah, but what the thing is, people don't eat enough fiber as well.
Exactly. So if you're eating the right diet.
Yeah, if you're eating the right diet. This is what I think. I think you can have a little bit of meat, you know, like, I don't think you should be eating it 3-4 times every day, you know, bacon for breakfast, fuck, you know, I get sausages,
Christ.
I'm going to get a ham sandwich for lunch, Jesus, can't wait for a burger later on. I don't think you should be eating it like that. It's going to sound extreme to people, but I believe maybe 2 or 3 times a month maximum you should eat meat.
That sounds extreme.
Yeah, it sounds, well, to people, it's going to sound extreme. If you're having bacon sarnies every morning.
Oh, my God.
Do you know what I mean?
Bacon sarnies.
And the thing is, about meat as well, the pork thing for me, it was just that we did it with pork. If we'd have did it with beef, it might have been beef now that I don't eat. But also, what I found out is that pigs don't have sweat glands. So, and when you sweat, you're also, as well as cooling yourself down, you're secreting toxins. So imagine all the toxins, you know what I mean? They're just, that's why pigs look like that. They look like, I'm ill, but I'm just going to carry on eating. Yeah, what is that? I don't even know what it is, but it tastes good. You know what I mean?
No, but I feel the pigs too, because when you actually discover what kind of life a pig lives when it's bred in captivity to be turned into bacon slices.
Sausages, fam.
It's disturbing. It's horrific. And, you know, I can't hand on heart feel good about myself, you know, and there's lots of people out there, they want to talk about their being Christian or their religious values, but yet they want to eat processed meat. And you really think God would be happy with you eating an animal that's just basically lived a life of abuse? Sorry, Mice, to take you off on this. It's like one of my favourite subjects. I don't want to
kill
everybody
on it. This is what we're about.
You know,
this
is something
knowledge.
That I've done a lot of, you know, research into, and I just think it is proven, scientifically, medically proven, horrific, the kind of normal diet that we eat here in the UK. And like you're saying, most people, they think that's extreme to have meat twice a month.
The sad thing is, at the same time, you got the whole vegan, veggie kind of crowd, which is, you know, some of it's confusing. Like, I don't know about going into a vegetarian restaurant and they're like, yeah, some beef flavored soya or chicken flavored.
I don't understand that.
Yeah,
either.
That's just weird. It's like, if I'm a veggie, why do I want to eat meat-flavoured stuff?
Vegetables are the most wonderful thing in the world. Like, everything natural that Mother Nature has gifted us with on this earth. It's, like, wonderful. Why would I want to flavour it with some nonsense?
But this is the other thing as well, is that vegetables are really good for you. But you have a lot of hybridized veg. So you have a lot of vegetables that are like, quote unquote, good for you, but they're not as good as you think they are. Do you know what I mean? So it gets a bit deep, but let's get to some answers, because we got a really interesting interview coming up with some famous dudes. Sarah doing some famous ass shit. But anyway, so I put it out there. Name some foods or meals you would never eat, no matter what the cost. Shout out to Gleam. He's just put hashtag meat.
One Gleam.
So yeah, that's it. You know, that's one of your boys there. Pops, I asked Gleam him if he's veggie or vegan. He said he's just a veggie. So that means he a bit of cheese in there, you know. A yeah. nice bit of eggs every now and again, you know what I mean? I don't mind a bit of egg on me old, on me bread. I said to everybody, coronation chicken, and some people said, yeah, you're right, dog shit. Some people were like, nah, man, that's the bomb. I was like, bruv, you stay there. I just don't know about like a half-cooked looking chicken that looks like you just washed most of the curry off of it, tasting good. And I'm not into mayonnaise. When I heard there's mayo on it, I was like, oh, no wonder. I did try it, but I don't know. Dominic Bandoni says sushi or fish. The idea of eating an animal that spends its life swimming around in the piss and shit of other animals is absolutely no good.
That's ridiculous.
When you think about it like that, I can see what
but
you mean. But
that's not the case.
Yeah.
Because also it's about the types of fish you eat. Like whether you're eating farmed fish. Most farm fish, they spend their time eating a diet of their own feces because they're in like a small contained space kind of thing. But when you eat fresh sea fish, like say mackerel, all they're doing is exercising every day. They're living out in the sea. That's a key source of protein that is sustainable. You know, so that is a much healthier option than any kind of land mammal that you might want to eat.
Shout out to I mean, I don't mind sushi. I never
love sushi.
I wasn't into it, but then the first time I went to Australia, it was really hot. Ooh. And he's like, bro, you gotta try some sushi, man. I was like, yeah, you know, obviously coming from the hood, you're like, bro, raw fish, what are you talking about? Like, just fry up the thing and But then I was like, okay, when in Rome sort of thing. So I tried it, put it in the soy sauce. But I'll tell you what really got me into it, like now I love sushi, is the wasabi, man. I love the feeling.
I'm a wasabi head,
yeah, yeah,
honestly.
I love the feeling that wasabi, you know when it starts burning your nose and you're like, oh.
I love that.
Yeah, no, it's but addictive, the best is, man.
Yeah, like honestly, I crave that.
Like they must crack. Sprinkle something in there, man. It's
yeah,
wasabi.
It's called horseradish. No, but the feeling that I crave is when it tickles your nose first.
That's what I'm talking about.
And then it tickles the back of your brain.
And you just get this drip and my forehead is like,
bling. I love it.
Right.
I love wasabi.
So,
I love sushi.
Shout out to Sal Wise McPhee. She says, those premature fertilized bird fetuses. I think they're Vietnamese. And she says, deep fried tarantula as well. I can never get the word tarantula.
I did see that in Cambodia. Deep fried tarantula.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Tarantulas, they looked a bit too like meaty. You know when you're like, what is inside a tarantula? Like, what do they eat? And you know what I mean? Like, they eat rats and shit, innit?
I think it depends on the variety,
I'm just
the
saying.
Species.
Yeah.
But
I'm just
still,
saying.
There is eating better food than what that poor chicken ate that you got from KFC.
Yeah, well,
those
all
chickens,
coronation chicken.
All coronation
Let's just be real,
yeah,
man.
Any processed chicken, like those animals have never seen daylight. They're given steroids and hormones to make them grow quickly so they can be slaughtered before they're ready to be slaughtered. They're disfigured and disabled because their bodies are too big for their skeleton to support.
And then you
and
go
then and they eat each other and they eat each other's shit. And then you
who
eat
the chickens?
That. Yeah, because they're kept in such small spaces. So imagine you have 1,000 chickens in a space the size of this studio.
Mm.
And so they never see sunlight. They're born inside there. Then they eat each other's shit and then they're all disabled, so there's loads of bacteria, so they have to be pumped full of pesticides and things. It's a despicable life.
They pump the chicken with pesticides
with to stop that, because there's so much it's such a bacteria ridden environment that they're kept in. They have to pump them full of all these chemicals so then the diseases don't spread. At the same time they're being pumped with hormones and steroids to make them grow quickly, because then the farmer can make twice as much profit. Then they're put on a conveyor belt and it comes out the other side as a coronation chicken. Yeah, or coronation chicken. I don't even know what they're called.
You gotta put mayo on that and then sprinkle a little bit of curry powder, man. Sorry, just fucked up. Sorry, it ain't right. Shout out to all the people that have survived on coronation chicken, though. I do believe after World War. World War II. I know, like, there's probably some of our friends wouldn't even be here if it wasn't for coronation chicken, but I'm just saying. Now, I don't think we need it now. Do you know what I mean?
Like, yeah, we've got other options now. Also, people who think Nando's is like a classy option of chicken. chicken. That's the same dotty abused animal that you're eating there that's eating a steady diet of shit.
Yeah, and Nando's is a bit of a jerk, but we won't even go into that because we're not promoting anything. No. And, you know, anyway, shout out to Tony D. He says mushrooms or anything containing mushrooms.
Aww.
Which is like, okay. But I said,
is that any type of mushroom though, Tony?
Well, no, he did. I said, bruv, shrooms have changed the world, man. You know, I told you last week or the week before about my theory on what shrooms have done for the world. And if we had to go Mars, I'd be the one with, you know, with them. This is all theoretically, of course.
Yeah.
But he said, I can imagine a magic variety, you know, but just not them regular ones. Like, you can imagine that they're cool. But the all regular mushrooms, and I said to him, there are different varieties, and it always depends on how well it's made. But you definitely can get the bubble guts from the wrong. You know, if you go to the cafe, like, yeah, I'll get chips, beans, mushrooms.
Okay.
You know, you try and get a like proper greasy breakfast.
Okay.
Guaranteed you'll have bubble guts after that.
Uh-oh.
Shout out to Sam Davis. He says, I was going to say a curried bat, but I've probably eaten that on a night out in Bradford.
Probably.
So I'll have to say eating another human comes in a close second.
Like. Okay, that was touche. Touche. So that probably smacked it, that eating another human.
Yeah. Obviously, depends what type, but...
Oh, what type of human? Yeah. If they were a nice person or not.
Hey, think about it, though. Some of us might not even be here either if it wasn't for cannibalism.
Oh, yeah, totally. You know? Of course, there would have been times apart. But, yeah, we sort of moved beyond that.
Two things, cannibalism and incest. So, you know,
incest.
Sometimes you got... Yeah.
Oh, I've always said
it wasn't for incest.
Yeah.
We might. Some of us might not be here. It's a bit of a weird thing to accept.
Get your
but
heads around.
Yeah, it's true. Shout to George Crimson. This is a good one. He says, frozen lasagna. Finder's frozen lasagna.
Oh, my God. Anything that says Finder's on it, you won't even... I don't even know how it's spelled.
Yeah, me neither, but... All that
there's
stuff.
A whole section of the supermarket I'd never
you don't even
visit.
Yeah.
Anything that's in a can, in the fridge, in the freezer thing. I don't even know what's in those sections of the supermarket.
Shout to Cal Neal. He says caviar can do one as well. Not paying through the nose for that.
Caviar.
Have you ever tried caviar?
Oh, Maestro, you know I do famous
art. Does famous art.
I don't know if I've actually tried it.
But
sushi that has the caviar.
Yeah, but I thought caviar was like champagne where it has to be from a certain type of...
No, caviar is just fish eggs. So, yeah, and then there's many different varieties and then
I know it's fish
scale.
Eggs, but doesn't it have to be like a certain type of fish or...
I don't think so.
Oh, right, okay. So,
I'll
try caviar.
I don't think
Man's done some famous ass shit before.
Yeah, I know you have.
The thing is about it kind of does taste like egg as well, like chicken
you
egg,
reckon?
Isn't it? Runny egg, it kind of has, well, I don't know.
Oh,
anyway.
My God, do you remember when there was that story a couple years ago about the horse meat and then they did that secret survey of different takeaways and then analysed the meat that was in the takeaways and then they were finding like that some of the meat, it wasn't what it claimed it to be.
Yeah.
Where it was actually like...
horse meat.
Instead of... and stuff like that. But then some of the food they sampled, it was... unidentifiable meat. So it's like people thought they were buying a lambuna, but they couldn't even identify what type of meat it is. So it wasn't even, okay, this is cat or whatever, which some of the food had cat and dog
and
stuff.
That was coronation chicken.
That was coronation chicken.
No one ain't
that's
eating that
That's the coronation chicken lifestyle.
Yeah, I'll give you one more and then let's get into this interview. So Panini Grande, shout out to Big Toast. He says, only shit I won't eat is tinned fish like tuna or salmon. That shit's foul. Nothing tastes too special out of tin, though. And I said, bruv, don't hate on the corned beef because, you know, some of us might not be here.
It wasn't for spam.
That's broke.
That's mad
80s. I don't know about spam.
Corned beef is mad. That just takes me back to the 80s.
Yeah, that's old school. Like, right, we're brass. You know, mum's still trying to make it out here. Corned beef. Maybe some rice with it. You know what I mean? Corned beef stew. Like, put some onions in there.
Shout out to a friend of mine who used to work in a tinned fish factory, and he said, never eat tinned fish.
Is it?
Yeah. Because it's dirty. Someone I know who worked in a pie factory, they were like, never eat pies.
And they carried on working, like eating pies, though, and working in that pie factory, though, isn't it? They're happy
well,
to take the money.
Yeah, they had bills to pay. But yeah, we're getting some confirmation caviar.
See?
Oh, you see?
And I don't even eat caviar on some famous ass shit. I don't think I've ever had it then. Look, traditionally, the term caviar refers only to roe.
Roe is eggs.
Yeah, roe from wild sturgeon in the Caspian and Black Sea. I knew it.
Really?
Yeah, that's why it's so expensive. Like, there's people that will sell you fish eggs. Yeah, it's caviar, but you're like, okay. So it's like the difference between Prosecco and champagne.
Sparkling it wide and champagne. Yeah.
Nah, I like Prosecco. I'm not, you know, but I'm saying
drink.
People try and jerk it like, yeah, let's have some champagne. You're like, bruv, this says sparkling wine on
yeah,
the thing.
Yeah,
like, why
don't
are you trying
try
to jerk it?
This is sparkling Liebfraumilch.
Yeah, but that says traditionally, so I'm sure now you can get away with like, yeah,
we can
yeah,
stretch
bruv,
it.
Caviar.
The terms are stretchable now.
Anyway, we got something special for all you bitches and bitchettes. Keep oh, wait, wait, we got an update.
Yes, hit us up again at hiphop@foodbarradio.com. And yeah, let us know what you guys reckon. We always love to hear from you, and this show is all about you guys. But what people saying, nice.
Oh no, we got an update from the office. So depending on the country,
this has come from the caviar office.
I was right. I didn't know exactly. You know, I just knew there was something to do with that. Caviar may also be used to describe the roe of other fish such as salmon. Steelhead, are you taking
like
the piss
the
now
subject,
with these updates?
The subject of the emails like caviar update.
Steelhead, trout, lumpfish, whitefish, carp, and other species of sturgeon. So depending on the country, caviar may yeah. also be used to describe different fish like that. So now we know. I don't know if
eggs
I've ever had caviar,
from different fish like that, yeah.
but I'd like to try like the expensive one just to see whether it's worth it or not.
Just
anyway,
so you can be about that lifestyle. Right up after this, well, coming up later in the show, we're going to be joined by a whole gang of MCs in the studio. We're
yep,
going to be letting you know
time.
What ill parties are happening this week. So keep it locked right here to Food Bar Radio with myself, Sarah Love, and Mice Diggy. I'm going to play you a tune, then we're going to get into this track that we have, this interview that we have with the one and only Swiss Beats. Keep it locked.
Yo. Yeah. Back when I was younger, man, I'd wanna be alone. Everybody at the party, but me at home. I need a little space, need a little time. Never touch chop, nah, but I'm feeding them a line. Head up, and it's looking for the meaning in the sky. I was naive then, believing in the lies. Tricked by the front, trapped by the fear. In the cage that had me held back by some years. We could all change, Rocky said it to the Russians. The words just lingered in my head and left me buzzing. It manifests from the feeling in your mind. Needed a release, now you keeping it inside. Reminiscing on the past, now you're dreaming of the times. You were vibing in the dark, now you're sleeping in the light. Man, you need to trust that your friends have got your back. Can't hide from the fam, should be telling them the facts. Worried about what hasn't happened, how relevant is that? Solitary confined, you're tearing up your flat. I was paranoid, assumed what others thought. Trying to hide expression, man, what's up with yours? Looking at gestures, taking shit personal. Keep it to myself like a greedy kid. First of all, it became a straight bullet, tearing up my confidence. Couldn't choose a side, so stay sitting on the fence. Staying on the move to evade solitude. Now I hang with the crew, do what I gotta do. Need a little time, need a little space, need a little time. I need a little space, I need a little time, need a little space, need a little time.
Space to the future, we can never make out. Stuck up in the past, behind bars we break out. Like arms on a clock, we spin around past the sundown. Repeat the cycles, I need my time. Make no mistake, you were made for a cause. It's an earthquake, I shake every plate to your core. Bass to your door, feel that taste in my jaw. Not complacent no more, take this piece from my heart. When I speak from the raw, keep what you got me looking for mine. I got a rhyme to get cooking your mind. Twist the spine, bop heads, design vines to stop time. Bring you back to life like Frankenstein. I'm not happy, nah, I'm not sad. I feel nothing, connect and build something. When life got you punching, it's hard like a truncheon. At heart, we can make a better day. Medicate the sick, flip like aerobics. Flip more than the weather. No, you cannot control this. I'm down for whatever, my pleasure. Remember where you're from, the wrongs, the rights, the bonds, the fights, the dark, the light. Open up your heart, your eyes, the truth and lies. The youth under disguise, the youth and the wise. It's a beautiful life and you can change if it's right. I got your back if you got mine. Space and time.
Space and time. Space and time. Space and time. I don't wanna be like everybody else. 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 I don't wanna be like everybody else.
Like That was the sounds of Chill Man, Space and Time, featuring Verb T. And that's from the album Abstract Patterns. It's out now. And Chill Man was on the show earlier this year as well. So definitely hit up foodbarradio.com/shows/hiphop.
Yeah.
And you can listen back to all of our past shows and all of that good stuff every Monday. It's all about hip-hop right here with myself, Sarah Love.
And myself, Mice Diggy, a.k.a. the voice of Chocolate Velvet Cake. Let me give a shout-out to my boy, Chris, who's locked in. He says we're cracking him up. That's always good to hear. Shout to all our listeners, avid listeners that check us out every Monday. And those who listen back as well, we love all of you bitches and bitchettes. No discrimination.
And definitely get involved with the Food Bar Radio Facebook page as well, because there's loads of good videos up on there from the show, including clips from interviews and open mics too. And every week we bring you amazing open mics and guest MCs on the show, and we bring you interviews with some of the biggest stars in the hip hop game, and this week is no exception. Mm-hmm. Because over this I was so sorry that you weren't with us, Mice, but this last week Swiss Beatz has been in town.
You've
heard
hearing.
Of Swiss Beatz before?
Yeah, yeah. What trainers did he have on, man? I know you were checking out what trainers he's got.
Well, his trainers were actually from Dior.
Well, all right, that's some famous ass shit.
And he
right
did
there.
Actually keep us waiting for a while because his shoes were pinching and he had to run out and buy some replacement shoes. And
that's
so
some
he came.
Shit,
that is some real famous ass shit. And so then he just popped into Dior and got some new kicks, but then he still said he preferred mine. I was like, yeah, because that's how I
like. Pow! In your face.
In your face. No, but Swiss Beatz has been in town because he bought this event to London called No Commission. He's a passionate art collector.
Yeah. He's like, you know, one of the biggest in our world anyway, in the hip hop world. Mm. I think he put people like Jay-Z onto it and Dame Dash even, you know, where they started opening up galleries and all this and that.
Mm-hmm. And I'm going to let him tell you all the details of that. But yeah, the event in London was amazing because it was an art exhibition combined with live music performances and stuff. It was an ill party. I mean, people were like fighting to get in. You had surprise appearances from Eve. She did a little performance there.
You know she lives here now, isn't it?
Oh, does she?
Yeah.
I'm trying to think who I know who was like in love with her. Let me see if I can hook them up. We need to get her on the show.
It wasn't me.
It wasn't you. You're married. Yes. You're innocent.
Well, back then I wasn't. So if I was, you know, it don't matter. You know what I mean? It's all allegedly
legal,
anyway.
Yeah. But yeah, she did a performance of Tambourine. Lewis Hamilton was in the house. Giggs
was dancing?
In the house.
Did Lewis Hamilton dance?
He did, reluctantly. He
yeah,
danced,
I can
yeah.
imagine he dances like Obama. Did you see Obama on Soul Train when he, years
no,
ago? There's
no.
a video of Barack Obama dancing at the end of Soul Train. Yeah, but it's mad, like, it's all tight and, you know, there's like mad Carlton from Fresh Princey.
Really?
Yeah, I can imagine Lewis Hamilton dancing like that as well.
Isn't it? And yeah, Giggs. And then when we caught up with Swiss Beatz as well, he played me a track that he's just done with Giggs as, for Swiss Beatz's own album. There's a whole gang of stuff that he's working on. Swiss Beatz has actually produced one of the few Beyonce songs that I like, where I remember Kish, Broken Soul Boy, when he saw me start dancing to that in the club, he was like, I never thought I would see Sarah Love breaking out to Beyonce. This Beyonce track. But I ain't got no shame. I like what I like. And but yes, it was really cool to catch up with Swiss Beatz because he's a really chilled out, the down to earth guy, and you could just feel his true passion. It wasn't no gimmick, this whole No Commission thing. But I'm going to let him tell you all about it. This is why he's been in London this week. It's Food Bar, Sarah Love and Mice Diggy.
Every time I look around, people are taken from the artist. And so I said, you know, if I ever got in position or in power to reverse those charges, I would do it. So then I created No Commissions, where it's the art fair where the artists keep 100% of what they sell. It's free for the people to come in. Yes, you have to RSVP. And no, everybody can't get in, right? Mm-hmm. Because it's just like capacity thing. The performances are free as well, so you get to see some great artists. So it's art, music, great vibes. You know, it's just the entry point to the creativity. And I started it in Miami at Bazoo with, like, oh, No Commission is here. What is No Commission? I don't know. It was kind of this discovery, and people just ended up jumping over the walls to try to get in. And then I did it in the South Bronx, which is my hometown, because I just felt like, one, I wanted to bring something back home, and because the Bronx started a lot of, you know, music and art and different things. And that's where I got my creativity from. So, and that became bigger than when we did it in Miami. And so I wanted to bring it to London. So it's just kind of like unpredictable place is that I want to bring this and create our own destiny. And, you know, the UK is the first place out of the US that we're launching. So this is pretty epic today.
Oh, that's lovely. What an honor for us to be treated to this. But so you're saying there's a visual art element as well as the music performances happening too?
Absolutely.
And then how did you select the people who'd be involved?
A lot through social media, and then a lot with just being on ground and knowing who's who and what's what. The art part of the show is 90% artists from the UK. The music is 100% artists from the UK. Because I just wanted it to be a celebration as well. You know, I'm a visitor here. I can't come here and act like I'm taking over anything. I just want to be able to add to the culture and give something different. Because, you know, there's a lot of art platforms and things out here, but I don't feel the entry point really connects to our side of the culture like that. And so that's why I created this.
Definitely. And I think the same can be said from the visual art world as well as infiltrating the music industry. There's a disconnect between the industry and the street level movement in it.
Absolutely.
And so what is this going to be, music from different genres, or is this specifically a rap thing?
I look at music as like art. You know, there's different canvases. You know, we have Emily performing tonight, Blood Orange performing tonight. I may do a little something tonight. You know, we're just keeping it cool, you know what I'm saying? It's just like, so that's tonight, then tomorrow it steps up a little bit more, you know, Bugsy Malone, a couple of amazing people. I just wanted to mix up the music, and I wanted it to feel like an experience. And even the way I built out the space, you know, I didn't want it to feel like a festival. You know, I wanted it to feel like everything was an experience. You know, the Bronx was the last festival kind of vibe. Every commission is going to be different.
Very so cool.
Yeah.
I did live in Fordham for a short while.
Oh, yeah?
In the Bronx, yeah. Okay. Deep in the Bronx. But what kind of influence has the Bronx had on you as an artist then?
Everything. I grew up around graffiti and music my whole life just from being in the Bronx. And so that's how I got into music, and that's how I got into art. I just chose music first because being a DJ was just the thing to do. Then I came back to take my art roots back and make it a new discovery, because I think that, you know, our youth, we need, you know, they need something else to pull on, and everybody can be a producer, everybody can be a rapper. You might be a great photographer. Let's make that cool. You know, you might be a great painter. Let's make that cool. You might be a great fashion designer. Let's make that cool. Let's not just put the culture in one small box because it's happening at this particular point when they're all forms of art.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I think that we should make all forms of art cool and
accessible.
And accessible.
Yeah. Because I think there's lots of people who are visual artists, but then they don't fit that whole art world of, you know, the Nouveau Riche, you know, eating canapes and things. That's not something that they connect with.
That's why no commission exists.
Whoop whoop.
Yeah.
We like that.
Yeah.
And so from here, this is going to be spread over 2 days in London.
Three.
3 days.
Yeah.
Lovely.
3 days.
And then, so, are you going to be DJing?
I'm just very spontaneous. Like, I like to be there. I like to vibe with the people. You know, no VIP fakeness. You know, just really taking it in. And I love observing the experience. And because there's always room for growth. Like, so the key point for this show is the bathrooms for me. Step up the bathroom. So if you go to the bathroom, you're going to see this is not a regular porta potty.
I've never interviewed an artist who's been promoting the bathroom at their event before. I mean,
you know why the bathroom is such a small but big thing? Because it's attention to detail. But it's like, you know, don't keep putting the artists in basements and making the artist feel so strange and weird and all these different things, and you can't communicate with the artist. And it's just like, I just don't like the way that, you know, people just treat the artist. So it's like, you know what? Even the, like, if you're going to do an art show for the artist, like, make sure everything is, like, to the next level. You know, so when those buyers are coming to change these artists' lives, they have a great experience. You go in the bathroom and it's just like you got one of the biggest collectors in there, and this porta potty, and it's disgusting in there. Does that person, like, want to stay there and buy work, or going to want to leave immediately?
It's grimy.
Right? So it's like starts, like, from detail. I'm a Virgo, so I'm super detailed. And I'm just happy to have the best bathrooms in the
that's your claim.
My world right now.
And so you say you're a visual artist also. Like, in what kind of capacity have you messed with making art?
I mean, I paint, but I do it for therapy.
Mm-hmm.
I've been painting for a long time. I've been promoting art for double-digit years.
I see.
Even my peers are laughing at me when I first started talking about art. You know, now they have art advisors, you know, which is cool.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but that's why you got to always continue your dream, because a lot of people might not see your vision. You know, it's just like people wanted me to not be a producer. Imagine, you know, the world would be 550 songs less than now, right? So I said, the art is something that we need to not be scared of. A lot of people in our culture was scared to be a part of the art because it was like, it was kind of crossing over or whatever the saying was. I just wasn't going for it. I was like, you know what? I'm raising my hand. I love art. This is what I'm going to support it. And whoever don't want to support it, it's okay.
It's important to pursue what you absolutely love in life. And it's sad because it's taken so long, I feel, with graffiti to be even recognized as art. I mean, I know there's a lot of graffiti artists who don't feel Banksy, but in many ways, Banksy has kind of at least opened up that dialogue to invite the visual side of hip hop into the art galleries.
Yeah, but I think that people should focus on themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for another artist not to like another artist is already breaking the artist code. Right? Artists should help artists. Artists should love each other. I mean, you can have creative battles or challenges or to keep you on your toes, right? But I just feel like, don't knock a Banksy. And Banksy shouldn't knock another artist, because I think what Banksy is doing is clever. I mean, everything that he's touching has substance, has a message that's in there. So it's like, even when he came and took over New York, when he did, you know, it was just very clever. There was a charity component in there. There was a give back. Like, just look at the overall message and not be so literal all the time. He opened up the door, like what you said, for like people to look at, you know, graffiti art even more, like in street art, which I don't even like that title. I don't like the title street art. I
mean, for me, that's kind of the same as using the title urban music. It's just such this generic, disrespectful term that works for the industry, but it's not actually, you know, representing the truth of what's happening.
Yeah, you know, it's like a lot of artists started from the street that they would consider high-end art, or whatever the title they want to call it. I just think great art is great art. That's the title.
Mm-hmm.
It's art. It's, mm-hmm. You know, it's somebody's expression. And you either could like that expression or not.
Mm.
But it's not like because he grew up in the South Bronx, he's a street artist. No, like, that's not it.
That's kind of a liberty
it's
as
like,
well.
It's, they always want to, like, put boundaries and titles and things on. Like, nah, it's just art.
But I feel those kind of labels, those are things that come from the top that they try and put on emerging stuff. Like, we never give these kind of generic labels.
Because it's business, you know, so they
exactly.
They have to put titles on business, which is the reason why I'm glad I don't have a gallery, or I'm not a broker. I'm not even in the, I wouldn't call it the art business. I would call it, like, I'm in the art movement, you know.
Nice.
Something more like that.
So who are some of your favorite visual artists active at the moment?
So many. Shout out to D-Face, who's from the UK. Shout out to Swoon. Shout out to Miss Vaughn. Shout out to Oka. Shout out to everybody, man. You know, it's thousands and thousands and thousands of artists. You know, shout out to Kehinde. It's too many.
Do you dig any kind of, like, more classical art?
Yeah.
Yeah? Like, which artists?
Just all type of artists. See, like, a lot of artists that I don't collect dead artists anymore.
Okay.
I only collect living artists at this particular time. Like, pre-Dean collection, I was collecting, like, a lot of artists that's not here. But I was seeing that I was collecting for the wrong reasons.
Okay.
At that time. So I would buy a Warhol just to say I have a Warhol. Or I would have...
Yeah, that's kind of whack to do that,
in a way. Yeah, but, you know, when you're first coming into it and nobody's really agreeing with the art scene at that time. I was buying paintings, so when Clive Davis and people from the music industry come to my house, they knew I was different. So when I went to go renegotiate my contract from a music standpoint, they knew not to give me the same deal that they would give somebody else, because I was showing them I'm on a different level, and it worked, by the way.
Mm.
And so, like, that was my strategy of collecting art at that time. But then I started traveling the world and just seeing amazing artists from everywhere, and I just was like, you know what? This is what I want to do. Why spend, like, all of this money on this person that's not even here, when you could take, like, the price of that one painting and empower, like, 20 artists and really meet them and help them with their life, and they can help you with your life, and everybody in the Dean collection I know. So it's like a family now, and so it's just pretty amazing.
That's lovely. So it's definitely more than just business and upselling for you then.
I don't sell anything. The artists sell. They keep all the money. You know, we gave back to the artists in their pockets over $2 million just in our last two shows. You know, so it's like they get to live their life off of that, you know.
Woo! bring them out, bring them out, bring them out, bring them out. It's hard to yell when the barrel's in your mouth.
Come on.
Bring them out, bring them out.
Hey.
Bring them out, bring them out.
Yeah.
Bring them out, bring them out.
Hey.
Bring them out, bring them out.
VIP, coming live from the VIP. Heard the nightlife, lost life, what that mean? Most of dead in the state, wanna see by me. The whole city got pissed, heard he got three. That other nigga got a hip and shouted, he not down. Who set the city on fire soon as he got free? The king back now, hold on, he know how to act now. Hit the club, strippers getting naked before I sat down. Still ballin', money stacked tall in the shack now. Still push a button to let the roof on the lack down. I'm on the road doing shows, put my Mac down. Mississippi to Philly, Albuquerque Kirk in the chat time. I got the crowd yelling,
bring them out, bring them out.
All my hot girls yelling,
bring them out, bring them out.
All the dope boys yelling,
bring them out, bring them out.
Front to back, they yelling,
bring them out, bring them out.
It's a hit with other rap nigga hooded than this. I got rich and I'm still on some hooligan shit. You be rapping by a blow, I'm moving the shit. Talk about shooting out, now we're doing the shit. If I hit you in the face, you gon' be suing the shit. And if I catch another case, I know it truly be missed. So I'ma keep a cool head, stay out of the news headlines, and show these other rappers it's bedtime. It's clear to see that I'm ahead of my time. I cop a chromed out, hard top career with a shine. I got some time, ain't shit, cause I get better with time. Who got a flow and a live show better than mine? I got a packed house yelling,
bring them out, bring them out.
All my hot girls yelling,
bring them out, bring them out.
All the dope boys yelling,
bring them out, bring them out.
Front to back, they yelling,
bring them out, bring them out.
Mic check, 1, 2, 1, 2. You wanna beef with the king, what is you gon' do? When you show up on the scene, one or two guns drew on you and your friend and play a little 2-on-2. If you do half of what I do, then you'll be hitting the deck. I got a tool and a vest, I had to get some respect. I'ma make it hard for a sucker nigga to flex. Show him this ain't the squad for a nigga to test. Pimp, my nuts too large and we way too fresh. Work well with 9s, 8Ks, and texts. They quick to check a lane like a game of chess. You wanna beef, nigga, bring your best. Cause we'll be standing in your front yard yelling,
bring them out, bring them out.
All my hot girls yelling,
bring them out, bring them out.
All the dope boys yelling,
bring them out, bring them out.
Front to back, they yelling,
bring them out, bring them out.
All the front yard yelling,
bring them out, bring them out.
All my hot girls yelling,
bring them out, bring them out.
All the dope boys yelling,
bring them out, bring them out.
Front to back, they yelling,
bring them out, bring them out.
Oh, in the air now.
It's lovely to hear of people with the platform giving something back, you know, and it's, that's something that I also want to see happening more in the music industry, because even looking, say, on a political level, what's going on in the States at the moment, I mean, do you feel that there are some high-profile music artists and other people who have a platform who really maybe they could be contributing something to the dialogue?
Yeah, there's a few of us, some doing more than others. But, you know, like, I just think that a lot of people are scared, you know, a lot of musicians like to play it safe, even though, you know, they like to come off as being super expressive. You know, a lot of people are scared. And it's crazy because even if you're really ready to, like, go up with these challenges, you'll be surprised how many people won't show up and support. So you'll be out there by yourself and you would have spoken to those artists and you'll feel like, OK, we're about to do this. And you show up, and if you had 100 people, it would be like 10 people there. Or something can start, and then you'll just see it just phase out in like 1 month. Like, you can't even get the person on the phone. Like, we don't stick together as a culture, you know. Like,
so how do we address that? Because I feel, you know, really, we have so much power through unity, you know, and there's so many of us who have come from an underground movement, maybe not even necessarily hip-hop specifically, but and now we're on a pop level status. And united, there's so much that, you know, we could be kicking some butt.
Well, I think first and foremost, we need a real solid leader. We need a new leader because a lot of artists are scared because they don't really know. So they might show up or act or pretend like they know, but they probably hide because they, like, imagine you get put in front of this microphone right here on a CNN or on a main channel and you can't articulate what you're standing for. That's kind of embarrassing. right? So I think, like, but if it was a respectable leader in place, then you'll know the rules and you'll know your strong points, and then everybody that's a part of the team, you know, would be able to be delegated in the right way. This is where you're strong, you do this. This is where you're strong, you do that. But that doesn't happen. Everybody starts crowding into the same hole and screaming and yelling at the same time. The message is never heard. It's just like, you know, we do a lot of protesting and marching, but what is our real goals?
Don't you think also, especially in hip hop, there's a lot more focus on soloists, and which is kind of fueling this egocentric kind of approach, whereas back in the day you had more bands, you had the solo artists, but then you did have a Tribe Called Quest, you did have a Public Enemy, you know, you had groups too, so it was like more a community focus going on.
Well, I definitely think it's different, but you also have a different set of artists that's out here now. You know, you have, back then when you was mentioning those artists, it was a different time, and people had a different focus. I think this generation of social media, internet, you know, a lot of these artists came up miraculously. You can't really see the paper trail of a lot of these artists like how back in the days you knew the paper trail and the DNA of who was speaking to you. Now this person can speak to you from any side of the wall and have a fake life, but know how to articulate some creativity, and you might believe it or you might dance to it, and that person will get empowered, and now that's one of the new leaders that's on the deck. And so it became a formula. So you have all these false leaders or false prophets, like J. Cole said, not talking about who he's talking about in the song, but they both my friends. And then it gets to this point, you know, back when Tribe, or even when Rough Riders, like, you know, everybody was doing this for like real survival, like for real. Like this was our, it wasn't a joke. Mm-hmm. You know, this was like real survival, because we were still 1 foot in, 1 foot out. And I think it's survival for a lot of artists, but I don't think that they take it as serious. At least most of them that I see, I don't feel like taking it serious.
But in some ways, I think on the whole, the younger generation are more seduced and subjected to this kind of corporate influence and promotion, whereas in that day where we owned hip-hop, we commanded the rules of hip-hop in many ways.
Yeah. Well, I think one thing I can say about this generation, I don't think that they're very corporate. You know, I think that they're quite independent. That's the good part that I can say, is that a lot of these artists are really independent minded, because that's how they started. You know, they didn't really start with a record label or a deal, because of the entry point that they came in was through somewhere on YouTube or something like that. So they wasn't really conformed into that structure. So you see a lot of artists getting to a point they still won't have a label, you know, because they figured out how to do it on their own. I do respect that part of it. I think they're more free than we were, even though their message might not be as strong, but it's a balance. You can't have everything, I guess. Right?
Mm. But, no. Yeah, and in the past you had the gatekeepers of the music industry, and the only way you were going to get your sound or your voice out there was by getting a deal, whereas now it's anyone who can get an internet connection.
I like that, though.
Oh, yeah, no, that's dope. But then, and that's the wonderful thing, is that it is open to everyone and their auntie, but then that's the bad thing about it, too, is open to everyone and their auntie. So whittling it down to the voices who are, like you were saying before, about people who can be the voice of a leader, to lead a community. There's a lot of noise to get through.
But everybody's not born to be a leader, and that's just something that we just got to understand and deal with it. Everybody have a leader in them. I believe that. But I feel like it's a lot of hard work to bring the leader out of you. You know, you have to know who you are, and a lot of us don't even know who we are. You know, even as grown-ups, definitely as kids. You know, so it's like, how do we put something in the process where people can look in the mirror instead of looking at everybody else's flaws? Right? You could take that time and like tune your own channel, and we'd probably have a better place just with that small adjustment.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so, like, that's how I look at it. I mean, I try to work on myself every day as much as possible, because there's so much work to be done, like, every day.
Yeah, it's an easy option to point fingers, isn't it, rather than to be introspective. Speaking of looking at yourself, how do you describe yourself as a producer?
As a producer, I'm still a student. You know, I still have a lot more work to go. I'm not comfortable with the accolades that I already have. I think they were just beginning things. And the only reason I say that, you know, is because I'm more knowledgeable now. I know what I want to do. You know, when people heard all those records, I was just doing them. I didn't have no goal. I didn't have no plans. I was just fresh off the streets. So, like, now when I do music, it's intentions. you know, is set and goals are set, and it's just a different format for me now. You know, I know how to take my expression and make it be felt in a different way, like as a plan, rather than just pressing some buttons or and just sending it out and just being cool with it being played in a party.
Mm, okay.
I like that too, but you know, I just used to think very small.
Okay, yeah. But style wise, because you're not a sample based kind of producer, I would say. I'm even struggling to think of any joints of yours that have samples.
I sampled a little bit.
Yeah,
you know, I played around a little. Yeah, because I thought it was like refreshing to be unpredictable. You know, so everybody was already like, he's not sampling. Like, let me throw a sample. What are they going to do if I do sample? Right? I'm just like that. And like now, I'm just like going back to the basics of my core sound.
Which is
just like the crazy synths and the anthematic sounds. And, you know, if you go on my Instagram, you see I've been like no sleep in the studio all last week, just bringing back these sounds and putting particular artists on it. And it goes back to having that plan of, you know, we can complain about what we don't like, but how are we going to fix it? I'm not going to talk about nobody. Let me just inject back into the ecosystem what I feel is missing.
Because I'd say some of the most successful vocalists of recording history are the vocalists that as soon as you hear them, you know that's James Brown, you know it's Michael Jackson, mm-hmm. you know it's Whitney Houston. I'd say you have a very distinctive sound, like with Primo. You hear
Showtime.
Primo.
Yeah.
But even without the Showtime, the kind of swing and, you know, bounce mm-hmm. that you have in your beats, in many ways, I would describe mm-hmm. your style. It's almost like if you let a child loose on the keyboards.
Yeah.
It's got that youthful joyfulness to it.
It should be festive, you know. It should be festive, and it should be an easy entry point, you know. And that's why I always would like strip back so many sounds and keep it like basic, you know. For me, it was always less is more, and then I would experiment and go crazy with the sounds. But mm-hmm. I just think less is more is back, you know.
Yeah.
Just an overall lifestyle. Period. Less is more. Like I got rid of, you know, a bunch of cars. I'm not really into the jewelry like that no more. I mean, I like nice things, but I just think that we need to like less is more. You know, I just think that we're overdoing everything as a culture. When you look at how everybody's carrying themselves, I think that everybody's just painting the wrong message. And there's nothing wrong with us celebrating our success. That watch, that chain, that's like your trophies. That's like your Grammys for making it out of the streets.
But in some ways, even when I look at those kind of things, how rewarding is it? Because to me, a car doesn't enhance my life. You know, it's time with people and experiences with people that's where you really grow as a person, isn't it?
But I think at a certain period of time, that watch and that chain change your life.
On a street rep level, maybe, you know, and in how you're regarded by other people, maybe.
Yeah, because that's the first thing you're looking for is acceptance. But I think it's false acceptance, because if somebody's going to accept you because of a chain and not who you are as a person, it's like a false acceptance.
Yeah.
And you don't learn that. I'm just now learning these things. You know, I'm 38. I'm just now learning these things. So that's why you got to always stay a student. You know, I can't say I was on this page the whole time. I was 12 cars. Millions in diamonds and jewelry and stuff like that. And it's like, it didn't mean anything. You know, I invested that same amount of time and money into art and was able to build an entire platform off of that. I would love for people to look at that and use that as a blueprint to like create a gift that keeps on giving. You know, like do something that's just a little different. And I can't say that I had that plan for a long time. I figured it out once I went back to school and just started seeing things a different way, because I was moving so fast, you know, since 17. It's like I had no break. So it's like, how do you stop and EQ your channel? You know, nobody's doing, like everybody's running. And like when you stop, it's like, wait a minute, like I've been running out. This is not even the right block I was running down. I could have just went around the corner. Why that, right?
I'm really happy to hear that, because I think we need more voices, high profile voices, projecting those kind of ideas to young people, because many young people are still fixated on materialistic ideas, don't you think?
Yeah, because nothing else out there is cool. So that's why I like, you know, I want to open this platform of art and just different things where your mind is occupied and people are giving you cool points or for really doing cool things. Right. And I think that the biggest problem that we have is the drugs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the youth using the drugs. I mean, when I was coming up, I don't want to encourage nobody, but we was more selling drugs than using drugs. Now people are using drugs more than not selling drugs. I don't really, like, how does that work? I think that's the biggest problem that we have with the youth and music and creativity and it being stunted is by And the violence too was coming from the drugs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's like, what's the plan for that? You know, how did that become uncool?
Mm-hmm.
Right? And it's sad what was happening around the world and, you know, Chicago, all these different places because of the drugs. And it's because of poverty. It's because of a lot of things.
Exactly. Yeah. Most of it, a lot of it is precipitated from poverty, isn't it? And people wanting to live, to aspire to the kind of cool things you're seeing on TV that other 100%. People have got. I mean, how are we going to get these messages out to people? Because when you look back to, say, the Black Panther era or your Martin Luther King's Malcolm X, Nelson Mandela, like there were people who were given some kind of guidance. We can't all just say, oh, well, we're not all leaders. Like, you know, you just got to play your position, wait for someone else to step up. It's people like you and your wife who are in a fantastic position to galvanize the public. How do we make that happen?
It's a lot of work. It's been a fight for hundreds of years that still hasn't been won because the system that we live in that is just not designed to handle those situations properly because it's a big business. The business kind of guy have to go out of business for that to come and play. And or we have to wake up and be extra smart. But like, you know, an addiction is an addiction. It's not the easiest thing to let go, any addiction.
But it's interesting because going to other countries, in the Netherlands and Scandinavia, they deal with addiction as a medical problem. In the States, it's dealt with as a criminal problem. I mean, you have the privatized prison system it's in ridiculous. The States as well to contend with. So it's yeah. intense. But back to you as a producer, though. I mean, who were you listening to? Who really inspired you growing your ears when you were younger?
Not producers. I was listening to more DJs.
Okay, like
so at that time it was like Kid Capri, Ron G, DJ SNS, you know, Showbiz and AZ. Like it was more of those DJs. But I didn't know I was developing a producer at the same time from DJing, because when you're DJing, it's all about timing, keeping the crowd engaged. So it's all of those things of making a hit record is DJing. Think about a hit record, like a million people agreed with a sound or a craft, like that's huge. That's something that you sat down in a room and a million people agreed that was the right choice, or a million plus, or 20,000 people like your song. That's a lot of people that's like agreeing with something that started from nothing, right? And so I became a producer by default. You know, I was making like adding extra tracks onto my mixtape, and then I remember my uncle and a couple of my friends was like, you know, take the song out and just leave that. And our people started rapping on the intros for the mixtape. So the intro of the mixtape was big. So, you know, if you had a big rapper or up and coming rapper on your mixtape in the beginning, it was like, oh, okay. You know, Doo-Wop was the main DJ doing those intros. So I started making intros, and I used to sell intros to other people. I didn't even know I was producing. Mm-hmm. I thought I was just making intros for mixtapes. And then my uncle said, you know, you should take the producing thing serious because you're really producing. I'm like, but like, he's like, you know, like, that's what you're doing already, but it's a business that go with that. That's what you should do. And I'm like, I'm a DJ, right? And then,
but a few years down the line, you're now getting nominated for things like Grammys. And the other day I saw an interview with the winner of this year's Turner Prize, speaking of the visual art world. And she was saying that she takes the winnings that she gets from the Turner Prize and she shares it among all the other nominees because she doesn't believe in prizes for art. I mean, how do you think? Because in many ways, I think what matters is what the street and the people say, you know, like, what do you think then with regards to that in terms of a Grammy? I mean, it's wonderful, obviously.
Like, my last Grammy was On to the Next One with Jay-Z. I haven't seen it yet. You know, so over 300 and some million records sold domestically. My wife and Mo, I just got a plaque for that. It's like sitting on the floor somewhere in the office. I never like hanging plaques and stuff like that because it's just like glorifying yourself. I used to dream of like a room full of plaques just from seeing it in videos, but when it like really came down to it, I just was like, I always want to feel like there's more to be done because it is. And it's just like, for me, I like looking at my kids, you know what I'm saying? Like that's something that I can wake up looking at plaques. I don't even like painting the pictures of myself.
Oh, that's lovely. Like, and you
freaked out by it.
Yeah. And you mentioned your wife and your kids there. What are some of the biggest challenges of being such a high profile couple? Because if I did see correctly a little earlier this year, you kind of jumped to your wife's defense on social media because I think people were gunning her a little bit for her choices about not wearing makeup anymore. Oh. I mean, it must be quite tough to be in the spotlight and
No, I think we accepted that job a long time ago. When you accept that job, things come with it. I just never knew that people would care about what somebody's doing to their own face so much. It's like,
do you know what I mean?
She didn't tell you not to wear makeup. She just saying, you know what? I don't feel like wearing makeup. I want to be 100% myself and in my skin and comfortable with it. And, you know, when I decide to wear makeup again, I wear it again. Like, she's not even not wearing makeup all day, every day, but she just, that's just what she chose to do. She was just like, yeah, I just want to not wear makeup. But people were like in a frenzy about it. Pretty crazy.
No, but I saw a little clip of you where you looked kind of fired up.
Well, I was fired up.
Yeah. So it's not like, oh, yeah, we just accepted that years ago. That's, but sometimes it can like hit home a bit.
I don't accept anything. You know, I'm laid back, but I'm pretty like on point when it comes to my family, though. You know, like they can't like play around with my kids, or you can't get like, if I feel you being malicious about my wife or something like that, I'm going to naturally respond. And I'm still trying to learn how to sit back. I am from the Bronx still.
Yeah, yeah. You're truly from the Bronx. So what's next then? What is going to be happening in 2017 with Swiss Beats?
A lot of music. I was in the studio with Gigs last night. We did something pretty crazy for my album. You know, so I think I might...
For your album, you said?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. I gave him some for his album too. I'm putting out a lot of music.
And who else might you be working with that we'll hear about?
Angel, you know, he just put his EP out. You know, so we worked on that together. But everybody, I'm like, everybody.
Who haven't you worked with yet that you would like to?
I definitely want to work with Sade. I know she's out here somewhere.
Yeah, put that into the atmosphere, yeah. She'll hear you.
No, she's actually cool. You know, we actually know each other, and her and my wife is cool as well. And I just would want to give her like a hard track and just let her sing those angelic vocals too. You know, and just be like, whoa, like that Sade? Yeah.
And that was Swiss Beats. And this is FUBAR Radio. Yes, Swiss Beats was in town this last week because he had this massive art exhibition called No Commission. Check that out online if you want to see more of it. If you missed any of that interview or any of our shows, hit up FUBARradio.com /shows.
Oh, yeah,
slash hip hop. It's the remix now. And you can listen back to all that good stuff. But right now, we're about to get into some open mic action.
Well, just before that, we want to introduce these mother lovers first of all. What's going on, guys? We have Evil Earth. We got Verbs. You brought the crew down. Please introduce them, man. Because
I've got my brother Earth Evil here. Got my brother Renell. Yeah. Got my brother Chemistry.
Shouts to Yoga Cop Records and Voodoo Collective Edit.
Shouts to Koza.
Stay close to the microphone.
See, I told you. I did warn you.
I've warned about this already.
I told you,
already.
Listen, I'm like the warden up in here. Okay,
My bad.
Yeah.
So I found out about Verbs earlier. Was it earlier this week? Even it might have been this week or the week before.
Yeah.
Shout to G Bagula out of the Gate Crashers, man. He posted your video, and I was like, man, if G Bag is posting a video, you know, I got to check it. He said, yeah, this kid is ill. I need to work with him. So I clicked the video and I was like, whoa, I was amazed at what I saw,
man,
you know.
Respect, man,
so straight, I don't usually do that, but straight away I was like, bruv, we need to get you on the show, because this is what the show is all about. We're trying to promote not just stuff that people know or talent that people know, but also up and comers. How long have you been doing this for then, so far?
Say like since 2012.
Since 2012?
Yeah,
how long ago was that, Sarah Love? Because you know my maths is fucked up. It's like 4 years.
What year is it now? Yeah. I'm losing track.
How old are you, if you don't mind me asking?
Just turned 21.
So, oh, first, yeah. Look at that. Thank you.
She's going to hug you soon, boy. Get a little bear hug in there. Yeah, that's old.
That's old. I'm 18. I'm a young
man. Was 18. Yeah, you got the man bag. You got the miniature man bag, so I know you're young, man. Yeah, hide that shit, because I'll be cussing you all day. Chemistry, how old are you?
22, man.
22. And Earth?
22, like myself.
That's nice, man. And you lot, I mean, the music you lot are making, you know, people of your age usually saying, oh, that's some old school, you lot are on this old school
Flintstones rap. We're into that hip-hop, you feel me?
How did you get into hip-hop? Like,
I'd say it's from growing up listening to what was playing in the yard, you know what I'm saying?
It was so, like Puffs or your older brother?
Yeah, my mum and my dad, my mum and my dad are quite young, so I'd still hear that good stuff around the yard.
Wow.
So, do you know what I mean? That's where I picked
Shouts
up from.
Shouts out to mum and pops, boy. That's what it's all about right there. And then what made you decide then, all right, I'm gonna get into this thing? And
It was quite a random one. My boy used to spit bars. We were in the park one day, and he was just like, raw, kick a three, innit? So I kicked a three. He was like, yeah, that's sounding cold, man. I was like, for real, you know what I mean?
Serious.
And he was like, yeah, pen something, penned it, did a little vid, and then went from there.
So you're a natural then? It wasn't like a thing where
something,
you had to...
Something like that.
You'd been studying without even trying, basically.
Like that.
Yeah, it's in the blood. Oh, Charlie, it's in the blood. Hey, that's good to hear, man. I'm looking forward to this open mic as well. Party people, if you don't know, man, Google Verbs, V-E-R-B-Z, and you'll find out a bit more. We're going to go into the open mic in a second. We'll just set things up right away. Let me know you lot can hear yourselves in the headphones, first of all, because,
check.
We don't want to...
Yeah.
No, you can't hear yourself. You
Hello?
See?
I did say
check the mics. No one...
Okay, so let's do alternate.
Yeah, there
we
go.
You good?
Wait, hold up.
All right. Let's make sure. So,
make sure
chemistry.
Yes.
Yeah.
Stay nice and close to the mic.
Yo.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You got it? You can hear yourself?
No.
If you can't hear yourself, no?
Yo.
F evil can't hear himself. See, that's why
either.
I was trying to get you lot in here early, just to sort this out.
You
know what I mean?
Nah.
We ain't got much time left, so what we might have to do is swap
headphones.
Verbs, you can hear yourself.
Yeah, I can hear myself.
You sure? Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. What we might have to do, you lot swap headphones because you know when you're not on, you're on. You know what I mean? This is hip hop. This is what we do here. And I'm sure you lot know this already.
Word.
I don't need to explain shit, do I? Have you lot been hitting any open mics at all?
Yeah, man, fucking Slip Jam.
Yeah?
Slip Jam in Brighton. Shouts to Tom
Hines.
The
only way people are going to hear you is if you speak into the mic.
That was
a mumbler, man. I'm a mumbler.
I was actually testing you. Yeah. Well, even more, if you're a mumbler, then you definitely need to talk into the mic.
No mumble rap, though.
No mumble rap.
So you lot ain't feeling no mumble rap?
Nah.
Hey, I'm like one of the best mumble rap freestylers out there.
You're not better than me.
Drop something. Show us something.
I just did it. You didn't. You have to catch it. I did when I catch it. Yeah. And I'm causing a racket. Woo!
Bro, let me
stay out because you are gonna get into this open mic.
Wow. Now we're in two different words. That's incredible.
You ready? So we got a beat specially made for this open mic, apparently, by Verbs.
Oh, nice, by my brother, Illiterate. Yo,
Illiterate
Records, yeah.
Oh, shout out to Illiterate, man.
Yeah.
Yo, let me get my headphones as well. I ain't trying to miss out on this shit right here. We're about to get into the open mic, mother lovers. You know what time it is. Shout out to Illiterate on the beat. Who's going to set
up a bit?
Verbs got to set
it
off. Can you turn him up a bit?
Yeah.
Verbs, you got to set it off, man.
Check. Yo, catching the sun's rays. Summer nights, long days. Lost in a strong haze. Fighting emotions that you can't face. Mask tears. For now you laugh, living fast paced. Dancing with peers, yet heartache still partake. And no one seems to hear because you can't say your sad state. Battling reflections of a cracked face. Warped image, funny you walk timid amongst mates. Holding the suffering within for as long as it takes. Another tale of sweet suburban escape. A rum I drowning in a case of great urban decay. Most my friends stay trapped in a wave. And I'm ashamed to say that I've been living the same. Addicted to ways. Lick a trick hitting my brain. I pick at the pain. Paint something different on page. I paint progress. Most friends spray walls in protest. Circulating the earth in search of a soul quest. Hands seen dirt from bridges burnt to knuckles bled. Family first, the way stay fed. Reminisce on days we'd make an ape stretch. Cause it ain't shit to break bread. Guess we was all raised up in the same mess. Eyes dilate wide awake as the day sets. Gaze into vast depths of nothingness to make sense. Of this known process, our soul low set. Cause we're all surfing the surface, surfing a slow depth.
You like listening to me, innit? You like listening to me.
Tirade on the tyrants and the trust fund. Lego clones, a coke clock wearers wearing antlers in Bohemian Grove. I start a Mexican standoff, bouncing off the ropes like I'm Rey Mysterio. Stick it to the man like a master of Aikido. Adi Gatto, stage rush the plateau. Black Panther fist raised, scaring all the cattle. Boo, bibbidi bobbidi. Doctor zombies and the Disney princess wannabes. Colonies of drones are only shopping Abercrombie. I'm wiling out in trackies that are comfy. Rocking hand-me-downs instead of retail. Strapped into this roller coaster line without a seatbelt, deleting all the junk like I'm cleaning up my emails. I swim with the intelligence of an orca. Spaced out journey since I was pulled into this world by forceps. Still orbiting the vortex, ignoring orders, lawless in the nebula, causing chaos and disorder.
Yo, look, daydreaming, summer out in Pluto, trying to spin that money wheel to get our wallets fat like sumo. Still wondering if money will help the needs of my life. As I breathe, I inhale the wisdom seeds from the sky. Still believe that the universe keeps us alive. And that guy they call Christ made 1,000 out of 5. Yeah, life is what you choose to make it. Rules there for the breaking. Any chance I'll be taking. Reminiscing about the days we used to kick it. Thinking if I hit it, she gon' satisfy my spirit. I ain't even with it. Got my soul to keep me lifted, but I'm still out with the misfits trying to hustle for forgiveness. Yo, let the beat kick as we press play. Disclose your weakness to your sensei. This a world of mastery. I got that master flow to find the truest form of happiness. Just let your master know.
Reporting to you live from SE 25. A young Londoner's just died trying to fight the current of the tide. And why? Cause there ain't no place for an optimist. We're a pot to piss. It's hard to come by like a dry hand job with a locked wrist. Ain't no plot twist. It's just a normal day. And now I'm feeling groggy, having a zoo after the homework that I've copied. Sitting listening to Otis Redding, cigarettes and coffee. Treating every last dinner just like it's my last dinner. Cause you never know when Lucifer's walking a path with your life. Baddie trying to pass par in a heart system that ain't sympathetic for a dark nigga. It's like every time I'm smoking crow and go to get the loud in. Solely I can feel my fucking psychopaths clouding. Not a stoner, but I'm blazing on occasion. Cause it make me just a little bit insane to reduce some of the pain. But I still ain't learned my lesson. No way, nah. Cause I'm fucking ducking the felons, hitting the belly and shedding. You should've known as Rennell and the mask and the cape. I adopted the face of a villain. If we ever cross pathways, you're fucking stuck between a rock and then a hard place. Getting squashed like child's play. Refreshments, I'm the best rapper around our way. Spitting spirit bombs, epitomizing when the bars flames. There's no way that they don't raid this unless they want a hurricane ready to pummel brains kick with the force of a fucking kamikaze plane. If it ain't 8-9-3, then you know it ain't shit, nigga. Quick to flip like animation sketch after I sip the alcoholic bev. Unless you know about the methyltryptamine or a jumbo jet, don't talk to me about trips. I'll lay you out on the deck.
Yeah, if only they would get the bigger picture and realize we're all parts to this last mixture. The quiet victor, I celebrate with a pint of bitter. Far from getting richer, but these lyrics are worth to the inner. Shit, something to play when the skies are grey and you feel to give up. But don't, I had to freestyle right there. I make it sound cool. I fucked up school, but still I'm back with it. Never gave a fuck, I still hit a brick for chatting shit. With a brick out the ball, we hold it down from the cyber from. That be that SE25 where we reside. I got Renov on my side, and I got Jaden there too. And yeah. I got
So we freestyle in cyphers, always forgotten minds. Too many whack rappers acting like they lobotomized. Not us, we real like earth crust to magma. I'm just doing this like down in another tankard. No blagger, this is real rap only. Chilling with the homies, serving up fresh food like Italian pasta from Tuscany. It's cannoli, move like Obi-Wan Kenobi. Lift the light side, force spitting, mind missing, misfit twisted. I'm just doing this, walking on the ceiling like I'm performing an exorcism. People need to raise up above this mental prison. I'm just doing this like I stay flying like a pelican or pigeon.
Chemistry,
too many rap rodents. I'm just doing this like I spit bars like an omen, taking over the world. It's the prophecy. Pass on to the next G to fucking go on this mission. Check it, Hollow Creed.
I love.
Saying, bruh?
Check it, yo. Too right, I love the life I live. Cause I went from negative to positive. Still hood politics. Got them saying that I can't get signed. Cause I ain't got enough Twitter followers. But what I speak's true, man. You don't know the half of what I've been through. Whatever obstacle, please don't ever let it defeat you. I was with them shooters in the trenches. Started asking questions. Thinking I'm worth more than what I'm getting, man. Plus, some say we're living just to die. I ain't trying to be imprisoned in my mind. Having dreams about my kids. Thinking I ain't quitting till I see them living nice. But first off, I need a wife. Yeah. My brother used to shot up in them flats. Me and Kesh was kicking ball up in the back. All we wanted was to breathe, but they didn't even want us doing that. A system where they supply and they subtract. They supply and they subtract. Started questioning the things they put in front of me. Social constructs of a working class economy. They tell us we're free. There's no freedom with their policies. Had a young brother stuck in poverty. Tried to get it like I never had it. Miseducated, so it never happened. Had to free myself to help me understand. They selling trap lines to trap minds. Trapping's dead when you get caught. You don't get back time or time back. I was in court playing the back line. Bro cool, said he got caught. It was a trap line. You could put that down to unfortunate circumstances. Still trying to hit the belly like them Persian dancers. Had my bro praying that he swerved the charges. Guilty verdict, made my bro serve regardless. Yo, look, I've poured liquor in despair for my thoughts and fears. I've walked with peers, laughed through distorted tears. Caught in the years, reflections are vividly smeared. From the park bench, piffed to drunk, piss on the stairs. Never truly felt happiness here, just managed to care for all my peeps that feed that peace through these words that I share. And still the smell of desperation's in the air, met with half-hearted stares from brares who stay armed under garms they wear, knowing that harm is near, and the drug-stained palms with the path they bear. All for this love of money, and it's hardly fair. Take the man who begs change with a charming glare. Corpses pierced in blood-splattered corporate shares, and we're still here. But nowadays I tend to question, cause time taught me you can't walk the earth without direction. Probably ain't my brother if you never clock the reference. Just a man with a mic in his hand, bound by your sentence. Just a man, I stand alone for acceptance, while others stand gassing the fans under pretenses. I never run away from anything I've met with. Hunger stay pushing my urge to verse reckless. Now I stay walking the earth, clutching the remnants.
Verbs, man.
I'm looking at the forefathers of rapping, passing a baton, looking at me like a kraken with powers they can't fathom. Wow, the question that is always on their lips is, how did you learn to rap like that? And who taught you the style? They never should have armed me with a mic, because I'm going Shinigami when I write, but never take L's. If you know me well, you know I might just go and raise hell, trying to get to heaven, spitting Britons, trying to make sales like a boat engineer. And you know I never spoken with fear when an MC get up in my face, trying to intimidate, talking, poking and shit. Fam, I don't believe it, down tone it a bit, cause actions speak louder than words, and I'm trying to make my voice heard louder than the herb that be burned. When I'm spitting for the love of rapping, earning some purse on the side, bare advice given, but it's rare that I learn. Man, they never should have armed me with a pen. It's like giving a psychopath a skang. Rappers trying to collab, but I ain't writing bars for them. They wouldn't know how to throw phlegm if you put a spitball in the straw and told them blow then. And fam, I hate the fact that every Tom, Dick and Harry thinks they can rap, cause of one average 8 bar that they once spat. Got no A levels, now they're trying to do rap. Yo, I'm rapping, trying to feel my soul.
Hey, if you don't want to get onto the Fubar Radio open mic, all you MCs, make sure the levels are up there, yeah? You hear what's going on. Yeah. Hip-hop at FubarRadio.com with the subject matter saying open mic, yo, Earth Evil.
Yeah, look, they said the white man took our gold and gone and left us without none. So what am I, a contradiction of outcome? I got flows and many more in the thousands. I got goals, I'm trying to alter my outcome. Something out of nothing, I'm the living proof of evolution. This ain't music, it's a revolution. We bring the facts right to their eyes so they can see it clearer. I think it's time to realise and bring the picture nearer. Bars go to your veins like a deadly dosage of insulin. Bring the Christians in, bet this ain't what they was visioning. To those who listening, whole blessings like christening, trying to mute chains of false imprisonment. Talk to my bro on the beats, like please supply more. Kill my last 16 and 8, like why write more? Trying to live a life that my parents have died for. That's purpose, something with meaning, my resupply raw.
Getting wrapped up in myself like an Egyptian mummy. Half the time I hate me, even then I'm fucking duppy. Pharmaceutical test monkey, self-destructive crashed on me. A space diet as a moon buggy, as rare as a blue curry. Some cares and a few worries. I ride the beat in dustbin pulled by ducklings, hoping they transform to swans or something. Gumption, forever optimistic. I'm racking a fat slug, wishing I was an animated character like Catbug. Kem lethargic carcass that climbed on stage chatting crap and rap stuff. And casually they call it talent, kinda sort of all embarrassed. Never trust the flattery of pancakes. The wettest individuals have the clammiest of handshakes. But who am I to judge? Came for the drugs, stayed for the love. My lady down below screaming heavens above.
Yo, for every lesson learned, I question what it's worth. Trying to carry myself as a man, I guess it's yet to work. Should be searching for a job instead of pen the first. Stay surfing the surface until my purpose earned. Mind stay confined to designs of a suburban curse. Cause we're all one mind under the earth. Shit, I fucked up, but still spit a verse. I'm gonna pass it over to earth. Shit, I'm gonna pass it over to earth.
I take the beat and I mix it with some intelligence. I'm relevant, I'm what's propelling them. Ain't no questioning about my elegance. Flow sicker, peace and love. I'm so hippie, so nippy. Need a bike to get round rip. Yo, they say they. Yo, they say they. Yo, 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 yo.
Hey, man, you got a
fucking killing this shit.
Renell,
one more, man, one more.
Quick.
I got rap in my spirit and I'll be spitting acidic. My phlegm will end up on you if you're thinking my bars are ridiculous. And trust me, I'm equipped, fucking ready and willing with more bars and darts, more flows and throats ribbit. Throw blows are timid. Niggas and pick on bitches, I never did it because my mother taught me that we're living. If you're picking a fight, just pick them your own size. So I climb the beast, talking close, line the giant out of the sky. Goliath with these rhymes and I never been soft spoken. Anybody sleep on Renell can get awoken. With a clang and a flashbang, white as coke. Blast a 5 centimeter diameter hole for your throat. One eye closed, flows is so simple for me. I'm doing it for kids, just like a dude in a key. Me in the microphone, it's like a dimple to cheek. See that Coles and Ocean logo, that's the symbol of the beast.
Renell right there.
Hey,
let me just tell you, like, whatever you lot were doing before this, whatever you lot have been doing to get to this level, keep doing it, yeah? Because shit is going to happen for you, for real. Shout out to Chemistry, Renell, Earth Evil, and of course Verbs, man. We appreciate you, mother lovers. What's the name of the producer?
Illiterate.
All right, give us your links as well. How can we get hold of you lot?
Facebook, man, straight up. Verbs, YS.
We'll be tweeting out all of the links and everything. We'll be tweeting out all of the links for you guys. But thank you so much for coming through. That was the sounds of Verbs and Friends. Thank you so much to Swiss Beats as well, Renell, Verbs, Chemistry, Earth Evil, and you guys for tuning into the show. Next week is our last show of the year, so make sure you're here because we're going to do something super special for you. Hit us up, hiphop@foodbarradio.com. We love hearing from you guys. And up next is Payne and Sylvester taking care of
you guys. That's right, bitches and bitchettes. We love you all. So stay tuned.
Thank you guys for ripping it for us. That was lovely.
Love. Yeah, man. Smack.
Unity. Brother, sister, there's got to